And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Not about Condoleezza Rice, but about, for once, allowing the rule of law to prevail in the United States and open government for the greatest democracy in the world. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush spoke at Camp David today about the Iraq War spending bill that Congress just passed, which contains a troop withdrawal start date of October 1st. He called it unacceptable and insisted he will veto it. However, he added that he is confident lawmakers will find, quote, a way forward on the $124 billion funding bill. President Bush met with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe today. Yesterday, the Japanese leader visited injured troops at Bethesda Naval Hospital and also paid his respects to the U.S. war dead at Arlington National Cemetery. In a book to be published Monday, former CIA Chief George Tenet says Vice President Dick Cheney and others in the White House pushed the country into a war in Iraq without adequate or serious debate. A senior White House counselor today called Tenet a true patriot but dismissed his claims. Saudi police have broken up a plot to attack Saudi Arabia's oil fields, according to the country's interior ministry. They arrested 172 Islamic militants. The Pentagon announced today that a senior al-Qaeda operative was captured as he tried to return to Iraq, his native country. The suspect was taken to the U.S. prisoner detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. The eight Democratic presidential candidates took part in the first presidential debate for the 2008 race in South Carolina yesterday. Next week, the Republican candidates for president will debate in California at the Reagan Library. Pope Benedict will visit the United Nations headquarters in New York City soon. Although a date has not been announced for his trip, he plans to meet with the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Film lobbyist Jack Valenti died of complications from a recent stroke yesterday. He was 85 years old. He worked as a White House aide in the Johnson administration. Later, he oversaw the Motion Picture Association of America. He was responsible for coming up with the film rating system. The House has passed a measure setting aside $600 million to provide educational help for college students training to be math or science teachers. The National Academy of Sciences has warned Congress that Americans are falling behind foreign competition in those fields. Wildfires continue to burn in southeast Georgia for the 11th day. 700 firefighters are battling the blaze, which has burned around 61,000 acres of land so far. It is only about 50% contained. You're listening to the Quality News Network, science and business news, coming up next.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
A highly toxic, naturally occurring algae is blooming in greater quantity and earlier than usual along the California coast this year. That is causing a record number of dead birds and mammals to wash ashore between San Francisco and San Diego. The USDA says at least 6,000 hogs have been fed recalled poisonous pet food. Authorities are trying to determine whether the pigs have entered the human food supply yet. Farms in four states have been quarantined. The FDA has voted 20-1 against approving the new Merck drug Arcoxia, which was meant to be a successor to its arthritis drug Vioxx, which was recently withdrawn from the market because of its safety problems. Despite these concerns in the U.S., Arcoxia is on sale in 63 other countries. Microsoft posted a 65% boost in quarterly profit to nearly $5 billion. It credits sales of the new Windows Vista operating system. The Commerce Department reports that in the first quarter of this year, economic growth slowed to a 1.3% rate. That is the weakest growth rate in 4 years. Economists say the housing market's troubles are causing businesses to spend more cautiously. Light sweet crude is trading at $66.46 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow had a third record close in a row, up 15 points at 13,120. The Nasdaq was up 3. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov.
Okay, don't you stop a man.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here it is, a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful late Friday afternoon in the hills and hollers of West Virginia. Golden spring light pouring through the windows, and we are at the end of another broadcast week. And, you know, to tell you the truth, a big part of this day, well, you know, apart from producing all the other wonderful shows here on the Head On Radio Network, be it Dr. Bill or Joe Vecchio, who had John Fox subbing in for him today, or John Fox, who sat in for himself today. Apart from that, some of this day has been a little bit like trying to gain our equilibrium back after last night's so-called debate, which wasn't a debate, among the Democratic hopefuls in South Carolina. Because I got up this morning, and before we started producing shows, I rewatched it, and it's a real screamer. But more than watching it, what I found far more instructive was to read the political commentary about it, and to read, I mean the mainstream media. Agnes, do me a favor. I didn't open that story over here, but it's open on your browser, over there, the very first one there. This is indicative of what else was out there today. This is the Washington Post coverage by David Broder, and he writes, and you can just hear the snark fins falling off of him. At least 6 of the 8 declared candidates, Biden, Clinton, Senators Barack Obama and Christopher J. Dodd, former Senator John Edwards, and New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, showed themselves to be both substantive and direct in their responses. The other two, Representative Dennis J. Kucinich and former Senator Mike Gravel, provided a counterpoint of left-wing ideas that drew rebukes for a lack of seriousness from Biden and Obama. The challenges from the liberal flank allowed almost all the others to assert that despite their criticisms of President Bush's Iraq policy, they are ready to use military force to retaliate against future terrorist attacks. Drop dead, David Broder, okay? I mean, like, go play in traffic, drop dead. What a hack. What a worn-out piece of crap David Broder is. Well, I'd refer back to it, but I can't because Agnes has gone back to... do you notice the phony dichotomy that they set up here? I guess you could print it for me, Agnes, and that might help. This phony dichotomy of you're a serious candidate if you're ready to slaughter peasants. Screw David Broder to the wall. A running. With a Makita keyless drill. This is ridiculous. Because of the attacks from the left-wing flank... Now, I mean, some of you may have watched it again today, just like I did. When Gravel and Kucinich spoke, did you hear any crazy left-wing stuff? You know, the real, you know, I don't know, let's all drop out of society and go live in a commune kind of peace, love, freedom sort of. And, you know, John Prine... Oh, there's our bumper music going out. John Prine singing Blow Up Your TV. Did you hear any of that last night? I didn't hear any of that last night. I heard very, very, very serious discussion coming from both of those individuals about an undeniably screwed up place this nation is in and has been placed in by virtue of some really, really bad warlike ideas. I mean, can you dig it? Can you dig? I mean, this isn't just what? This isn't just the media. No, this is a cultural barometer. Here we sit, it's Friday, the 27th of April, 2007. Okay, I got that much right so far. And David Broder at the Washington Post has declared that a statement such as, "I don't believe in using warfare as an element of American foreign policy," is far left flank stuff. Just let that one settle in a little bit. Not being immediately willing to go and kill anything that moves for any reason dictated by the oil industry is far left. Not wanting war is far left. Seeking peace, studying peace, desiring peace. Peace is far left. You know, Jesus, maybe that thing should have been labeled "Do Not Induce Vomiting." Are we done? I'm not talking about you and me. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about our nation. Are we done? Is this nation just done with the ideas upon which it was founded? Do we need to apply for like some sort of formal name change? National Socialist States of America? Because, see, it's not just... Oh, darn it, sneeze. Hold on. Wow, you really didn't want to hear that. Thank you. There was an article that was published, I believe it was in The Guardian, a couple of days ago. And it was a beaut. And, of course, it's something that could never, never, and I do mean never, be published in the United States. But it was, it was Tuesday the 24th, published in The Guardian. Headline, Fascist America in 10 Easy Steps. And the subhead says, from Hitler to Pinochet and beyond, history shows there are certain steps that any would-be dictator must take to destroy constitutional freedoms, and argues Naomi Wolf, George Bush and his administration seem to be taking them all. What are those 10 steps? Number one, I mean, this is like some macabre something or another from David Letterman. Invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy. Well, we've certainly done that. Oh, wait, breaking news, here it is. Oh, dadgummit, where is it? Breaking news, Pentagon top Al-Qaeda leader taken to Guantanamo. What was that, Naomi Wolf? Oh, yeah, invoke a terrifying internal and external enemy. After we were hit on September 11, 2001, we were in a state of national shock. Less than 6 weeks later, on October 26, 2001, the USA Patriot Act was passed by a Congress that had little chance to debate it. Hell, they had little chance to read it. Most of them will admit that. Many said that they scarcely had time to read it. Yeah, okay, see? We were told we were now on a war footing. We were in a global war against a global caliphate intending to wipe out civilization. Is it just us? Are we the only ones that sit around and realize that it would be that it is physically impossible for a bunch of dudes in caves to wipe out civilization? You know, one of the questions that came up on that debate last night was, God forbid, you know, Brian Williams, this sucker should be out of a job this morning. I mean, it should have gotten imist. That was being a moderator. Did you see the clip where Biden answers a question? Yes. And Williams just stands there and mugs for the camera. Oh, now, come on. I've been to more than one wrestling match at the National Guard Armory. I can see a set piece from a mile away. I ain't stupid. There I am using that bad grammar again. How am I ever going to get on highfalutin terrestrial radio if I keep saying ain't? But honest to God, that question, if, God forbid, a thousand times, God forbid, we were to suddenly be simultaneously hit with two nuclear weapons, what would your first reaction as president be? Well, first of all, Brian Williams, you ass. Holy Moses. Brian Williams, why did you limit it to two? Why couldn't we be hit with 19 dozen terrorist nuclear weapons? I mean, you're drumming up the terror scenario. Don't hold back, sugar. Make it really scary. If, God forbid, a nuclear device went off at every Walmart in the United States of America, how would you, as a democratic, liberal, weak-kneed, sissy president, react? Jiminy Christmas. And did you hear the responses? Well, I would find the one who was responsible. Next answer. I would search for the one who were responsible. Next answer. I would search for the responsible party. Bunch of sons of bitches. Where are the ones that would say, I would make sure that the grieving and the aching and the agonized were taken care of to the full ability of this nation to care for its suffering? But see, we don't do that anymore, by God. Not after Katrina we don't, because we know that this nation is broken. Damn nigh destroyed. We can't see to the agonies of each and every one of our citizens, because the people who have had the power in this country, be it the Republican Congress since 1994,
or the Bush administration since that dark day in January 2001 have done everything within their power to make sure that we cannot respond to agony and disaster in this country.
Yeah, see, we told you, the government was broken. It's broke. We can't do it. Can't help you. Say, it's got to happen from the private sector. There's got to be some profit involved, sweetie.
Screw 'em. Senator Clinton? No, couldn't say that the first and most important thing would be the well-being of the people in the cities, the survivors, and the search and dignified interment of the dead. Couldn't say it. How about you, Senator Barack Obama? I'm going to find who's responsible, and by God, I'm going to shoot him, because I'm tough. I got to prove I'm tough. Senator Edwards? We'll find the people who are responsible, and then we'll start bombing them, and we'll kill some of their poor folks like they killed some of ours. So, like I said, some of this has been about... has been about getting over yesterday. It was kind of depressing. Oh, fascist thing number two, create a gulag. Once you've got everyone scared, the next step is to create a prison system outside the rule of law, as Bush put it. He wanted the American Detention Center at Guantanamo Bay to be situated in legal outer space where torture takes place. At first, the people who are sent there are seen by citizens as outsiders, troublemakers, spies, enemies of the people, or criminals. Initially, citizens tend to support the secret prison system. It makes them feel safer, and they do not identify with the prisoners. But soon enough, civil society leaders, opposition members, labor activists, clergy, and journalists are arrested and sent there, too. Remember, first they came for the trade unionists, but I wasn't a trade unionist, so I said nothing. Then they came for the Social Democrats, but I wasn't a Social Democrat, so I said nothing. Remember that one? Yeah, we've mentioned that on the program a time or two. Gulags in history, Naomi Wolf says, tend to metastasize, becoming ever larger and more secretive, ever more deadly and formalized. We know from first-hand accounts, photographs, videos, and government documents that people innocent and guilty have been tortured in the U.S.-run prisons we are aware of, and those we can't investigate adequately. Number three, develop a thug cast. When leaders who seek what I call a fascist shift want to close down an open society, they send paramilitary groups of scary young men out to terrorize citizens. The black shirts roamed the Italian countryside beating up communists. The brown shirts staged violent rallies throughout Germany. This paramilitary force is especially important in democracy. You need citizens to fear thug violence, and so you need thugs who are free from prosecution. Hello, Blackwater! Thugs in America? Groups of angry young Republican men dressed in identical shirts and trousers, the white shirts, menaced poll workers counting the votes in Florida in 2000. If you're reading history, you can imagine that there can be a need for public order on the next election day. Say their protests are a threat on the day of an election, history would rule out the presence of a private security firm at a polling station to restore public order. Number four, set up an internal surveillance system. In every closed society, secret police spy on ordinary people and encourage neighbors to spy on neighbors. In 2005 and 2006, when James Risen and Eric Lichtblau wrote in the New York Times about a secret state program to wiretap citizens' phones, read their emails, and follow international financial transactions, it became clear to ordinary Americans that they, too, could be under state scrutiny. In closed societies, this surveillance is cast as being about national security. The true function is to keep citizens docile and inhibit their activism and dissent. Oh, and by the way, who gives the thugs their marching orders? It can't be anything so clear-cut as, you know, the boss man up in Washington in the People's House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue issuing orders, or Karl Rove doing it. No, because then we might have to dummy up a bunch of server problems so the emails could never be found. No, we can't do that. The marching orders instead will come from the paid shills and hacks and flacks of the fascist regime. They'll come from the likes of Limbaugh. They'll come from the likes of Bortz. They'll come from O'Reilly and Hannity. You know, there's if you go over to BartCop.com, you know, we love Bart like we love breathing. If you go over to BartCop.com, you can have a look down the page. Let me see how far down it is. I'll just do this while we're talking. You can go partway down the page, and there will be a reference to Flimball. And there's a link to a YouTube video produced by, what is it, foxnews.com, FAUXnews.com. They do great work at foxnews.com. But this video, you need to go and have a look. There it is. Just below the Air America rankings, or whatever, there's a quote, the lying and vulgar pig boy saying, "That show shooter at Virginia Tech was a liberal." And next to his flashing hot button, Bart has linked Oh Really Rush. And if you click Oh Really Rush, it will take you to a YouTube video. Go have a look. See where the marching orders are coming from. They come from Bortz. The murders come out of Bortz. The murders come out of Limbaugh. The murders come out of Hannity and O'Reilly and the Beck and Savage and all these people who are generating day in and day out hatred for people like you and me who just want to live and let live. Go have a look. Be kind of nice, because that might mean that here at 26 minutes past the hour, if Bart sees his traffic go up a little bit, he'll go, "Oh well, you know, people must have come from Bob." Not really, I'm kidding. But yeah, these killers that have plagued this nation, liberals, no, they're perfectly in line with what Naomi Wolf is writing about. How does she describe them? Groups of angry young Republican men. And that's what they were. Because you know what? When you're sympathetic to Nazism and neo-Nazism, I don't care whether you cite Godwin's Law, Goodwin's Law, or Goodwin's Law. When you're sympathetic to Nazism, that means you have a proclivity toward identifying and agreeing with the platform of the Republican National Convention. National Committee. Because they are interchangeable in many, many, many and terrifying ways. Yeah, set up an internal surveillance system. Harass citizens groups. Well, how many stories do we have to do about the FBI instead of being out there watching for, you know, crazy terrorists with airplanes? Instead checking out, you know, "Hey, look, there's a group over there singing Kumbaya. Go infiltrate them. They're anti-American." How many stories, time after time after time, what was it, the vegan group or PETA group or whatever that was protesting animal cruelty in Georgia were infiltrated by the FBI because they're terrorists. You know, the animal lovers, they're terrorists. Ack. Engage in arbitrary detention and release. Yeah, we've done it. Target key individuals. Control the press. Well, they've certainly done that, haven't they? Dissent equals treason. Sure, because as Brian Williams noted last night during the fake debate, someone has already written in to what was it, USA Today, suggesting that Harry Reid is guilty of treason for saying that we've lost the war, and that if Patton were alive, he would wipe his boots on him. That's right. That's what the right-wingers want. Let's go stomp the people who have the common sense to point out the fact that this war was lost. Well, you know what? We're at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to finish this with the words of Senator Mike Gravel from last night. This should be shouted from the rooftops. I give you Senator Mike Gravel.
Understand that this war was lost the day that George Bush invaded Iraq on a fraudulent basis. Understand that. Now, with respect to what's going on in the Congress, I'm really embarrassed. So we passed, and the media is in a frenzy right today with what has been passed. What has been passed? George Bush communicated over a year ago that he would not get out of Iraq until he left office. Do we not believe him? We need to find another way. That's where I really would like to sit down with Pelosi and with Reid, and I would hope the other senators would focus on how do you get out? You pass the law, not a resolution, a law, making it a felony to stay there. And I'll give you the text of it. And if you're worried about filibuster, here's what you do tactically. They can pass it in the House. We got the votes there. In the Senate, let them filibuster it. And let Reid call up at 12 o'clock every day to have a cloture vote and let the American people see clearly who's keeping the war going and who's not. And that's just the beginning of the tactic if they're tough enough to do it.
Senator Gravel, thank you. And to close out our section of questions on the topic of Iraq to my colleague.
You know what he got for that? You know what Senator Gravel got for that? He got referred to in the press today as the cranky old uncle at the debate. I kid you not. He got referred to as the cranky old uncle at the debate. By God, that sounds like a statesman to me, doesn't it, you?
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Phones are open. 304-658-5453, 877-443-2366. This is the horn.
Energize and rewind. I can sight to the blind, my insight through the mind. I exercise my right to express when I feel it's time. This is all in your mind, what you interpret it as. I say the fight you take it is I'ma whip someone's ass. If you don't understand, don't even bother to ask. A father who has grown up with a fatherless past, who has grown up now to rap phenomenon that has, or at least shows, no difficulty multitasking and juggling both. Perhaps mastered his craft slash entrepreneur who has helped launch a few more rap acts, who's had a few obstacles thrown his way through the last half of his career.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of 6 or 7 different things that could happen. What would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing at school.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Before the hour. Now, let's see what's on you guys' mind. Let's go immediately to the phones. Andrew calling in. Haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing, Andrew?
Hey, how you doing, Bob? I know you haven't heard from me in a while, but...
We worry. We worry.
Yeah, I've been around, man.
You know, okay, cool.
You know, got to do the wife thing sometimes.
No, I can dig.
You know, but... Nah, I just wanted to call up and say, like, you know, everything going on and, you know, the whole year early Democratic debates, presidential debates and everything. I don't know. It's like, I want to see, I'm seeing action, don't get me wrong, from the Democrats, but I want to see a little bit more. I mean.
Yeah, I want to see a little more political courage.
And I hope Bush vetoes that bill. I hope he does.
And then
I want him to veto it. I want him to veto it. But then it'll be his baby,
and then we get to ask the million-dollar question. If we've got the nerve to, if the mainstream media will let us, we get to ask things like, "Why does George Bush hate the troops?"
Exactly, and the troops don't need any money until fall, if I'm not correct, right, or late summer.
No, they don't.
They're funded, right? This is just an emergency appropriation, right?
Yeah, you know, as Dennis Kucinich pointed out last night, he said, "You know, the money's already in the pipeline."
Yeah. So it ain't like they got money. Like, if they don't pass it, if he doesn't sign it that day, like, they're going to be broke and won't be able to do anything. That's malarkey. We got credit, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want to see him, like, you know, I hope he vetoes it. That's my plan. He break out his big red crayon or green or whatever it is.
Put it between his toes and veto it.
Yeah, and no signing statements, like I heard earlier today on another program. So, I don't want to see any signing statements. Let him put a signing statement on there, too. Oh, I'll do it, Rove.
I've vetoed this because Harry Reid hates the troops.
I want him to, it might be better for him to sign it and put a signing statement on it, saying he doesn't have to abide by the non-binding resolutions. Now, that sounds stupid right there, abiding by a non-binding.
So, yeah. But again, the sine qua non of all of this, Andrew, is the Democrats, subsequent to the veto, having the guts to make him eat it.
Yeah. Shove it down his throat. That's all you have to do to him. Shove it right down his throat. Say, here's your money. Choke on it.
Well, yeah. Just, you know, look, we gave you the money you wanted. You didn't want them. Okay, you don't want the money. We're not going to do the money.
He's in a damned if he does, damned if he doesn't situation.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We've got other things. It's on the agenda. You know, I'm sorry, George. We cut out this much time to put together this bill to give you the funding. You know, we don't have any more time to talk about this.
And what was he talking about? He wants to work with the Democrats to craft a better bill. I wouldn't work with him. I wouldn't sit down with him to figure out anything.
I know. There's a lot of things that you'd like to say you wouldn't work with him on, but you just can't, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
With those criminals. But.
Well, did you see the video? Did you watch it last night?
The
debate?
No, I did not watch the debate last night, but I heard some clips earlier today from Gravel.
The thing that got me most, and it's tough for radio, Andrew, because it was a visual, and we were rolling it live here, and I wanted to put a brick through a window. Was when Brian Williams brought up the fact that Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill of impeachment against Dick Cheney and then said, all the rest of you here on the stage, who here, show of hands, give me a show of hands, who here is willing to stand with Congressman Kucinich on the impeachment of Dick Cheney? Not a hand went up, not even Gravel.
Yeah. Chicken.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just every day you get to watch an exhibition of 100% political cowardice.
Yeah, see, I didn't see that and whatnot, but, you know, hey, it's like they have something, the rogue has the goods on them. Somebody has the goods on them. There's something on everybody down there in D.C., man. That is a rat's nest. I mean, you know, it's like there's some good people down there, don't get me wrong, but there's a lot of bad apples down there.
Oh, the folks who get up every day and go to work.
The dirt on them.
Yeah. I mean,
they got the dirt.
Yeah, it's something. Well, but it's not just that, Andrew. It is naked. It is a naked lust for power.
Yeah.
How do you
keep power? By keeping your opponent in check, and they got him in check somehow because if it wasn't the November 7th elections last year, the midterms, that was overwhelming support for Congress to do its job. But we put some people in there to do their job. Go do it. I mean, it's not hard. The evidence is all out there. It's not like, you know, yeah, it may not be on the TV, but it's on the Internet, which I think is bigger. So massive amounts of people know the truth. Pull it out. It's documented.
Yeah. It's
And if it, and I'm tired of hearing, like, oh, impeachment will take 2 years, blah, blah, blah. He'll end out his term. It'll take too long. No, it won't take too long because there's too much evidence.
If you build the case and you put it forward, they can't. What are they going to do? Say that? And I mean, I frankly wouldn't put it past them. I mean, Alberto Gonzalez is there for this. What are they going to do, Andrew? Issue an opinion that the House of Representatives doesn't have jurisdiction?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the crazy kind of legalistic crap that they.
I'll tell you.
But I don't care who gets credit. I just want to see the job get done.
From what I see out here, it looks like the freight train is right at the cusp of a steep incline. It's just like a roller coaster when it's going slide. Basically, we're about to stop. But a lot of people are waking up, and then once it gets rolling, it's going to snowball.
I hope it
does. And I hope it's a good snowball or, you know, it's going to be like an avalanche. And as long as it doesn't, you know, take anybody out physically, but remove the cancer on the United States Constitution, and the American way of life that's going on right now, and that's perpetrated by these thugs.
I mean, we're either going to do this, or we're going to just continue a downhill slide into decrepitude.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people really. This is not a strong nation right now.
No. I mean, we have the Democrats are in Congress. The Democrats have some kind of control. There are some kind of checks, but it's still going the same path.
What happens if the Chinese economy goes south, Andrew?
We don't want to know what happens when the economy goes south. I don't even want to picture that.
I mean,
that's crazy. That's, you know, don't.
Was it 2 months ago that the Chinese economy sneezed and we caught the flu?
Yeah, that was a shot over the bow, but, you know, hey, it's like. There's a lot of American corporations over there in China, too. They're making that stuff happen, too. Yeah, you might be saying, oh, China's pulling the plug, when it's actually, you know, the United States corporations pulling the plug from over here and blame it on the Chinese. when they start moving their positions in the euros. That's who the ones that use moving their money in the euros.
Sure, sure. Well, mighty good to hear from you, Andrew. I don't be such a stranger. I know you're out there working and keeping up with stuff, but you know, check in once in a while, will you?
All right, will do.
All right, good talking to you, man.
Your family's doing well.
We're trying. We're trying. You know, if we can just keep the rain out of the roof, and yeah.
And I just wanted to say, I'm you know, sorry for your father's loss, and I mean for your loss, you know, with your father and everything. But you know, I want you to have a good night. All right.
All right, we will. And you have a great weekend, Andrew.
Yep, you too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And Luke. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
Thought we'd cut back on your weight a little bit tonight.
Oh, that's okay. I got two, three things tonight.
All right.
Let's see. Now, tonight, I think on Mr. Oberman's show, he's going to have Larry Johnson on talking about Mr. Tennant's book. And from what I've seen him, and I've seen Robert Baer, and I can't wait to see Ray McGovern. I can say, I have a feeling that they should be the ones doing the reviews to his book.
Oh, I agree. And the other thing, I'm glad you brought it up, just a query. Is there something about waiting 2 years till you're out of the office or however long it is, and then turning around saying, you know, I was the patsy, I was the fall guy? When you were a kid in the schoolyard and stuff, and you had an altercation with a kid, and he'd run about two blocks down the road and turn around and yell, "Poopy head!" Isn't that George Tennant?
Oh, yeah. It's like... George is acting like I didn't know. You know, they totally tricked me. It's like, George, you were in the room when they were telling what they were doing.
You were the director of the CIA, George.
Yeah. I mean, George, you can't exactly feign surprise.
I mean, it's nice that he's coming out, but I'm getting a little bit tired, Luke, of generals and CIA directors and people who were associated with the Bush administration waiting until they're safely. What do they say? Are they getting out of firing range? Is that it?
Well, now, I'll give the generals the fact that at least they should resign, because they can't just say it because they've got that damn military code, you know, that won't let them. And, you know, essentially, they can't stand there and say George Bush is crazier than a sprayed roach. They do that, the boys with the sidearms come up and say, "Come with me, sir."
Your pension's gone, General.
Yeah. Yep, they have to at least resign first. And I'm sorry that a few more of them didn't have the guts, because you know they had to have the time in, so it wasn't going to kill them in that respect. You know what I mean? You know, that's where you should put your letter in, say, "Yeah, I hereby resign my commission, goodbye." Then the next day, if you want to go to the New York Times and say, "I think George Bush is a sprayed roach."
Yeah, the next day.
Yeah, it's not wait 6 months till somebody comes asking you. I mean, I generally like Kashvili, but
yeah.
Kashvili should, at the day after he was out of the service, should have been out screaming. He should have been, you know, going to C-SPAN. You know, saying, "This is crazy." Well, I see in the last 2 days now, getting a little bit away from the debate story. I see in the last 2 days, I've seen virtually nobody on broadcast or anything and mentioned the words Bill Moyers.
Oh no no no!
And I tell you what, that
wait. O'Reilly did. O'Reilly did.
Oh yeah.
Called him a commie or something.
Well, like I say, I consider the source. You know how it is. It's like I say, Bill may be juggling his Thorazine. You know how that goes. Well, I see tonight the fellow you're just talking to was talking about the housing market. I see tonight I can't say his name right now. I apologize. Brancaccio.
Oh, Brancaccio.
Brancaccio. Sorry. It's on the housing market and the downturn. Right before we get Bill Moyers talking to John Stewart. So, it's going to be a good night in that respect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I'll stay up late for reruns.
Oh, and just for your information, one guest tonight that Mr. Barr's having on, will make life interesting, I think. I always enjoy listening to him, is Richard Belzer.
Yeah, he's good.
So, but that's all I say. We got a good night of TV if you want to set the VCR and all that good stuff. Oh, I was watching a little while ago, as much as I could stomach of it. Watched the first, last little bit of Matthews, and watched the first little bit of Tucker, just to see what they were talking about. Is it my imagination? And I don't know, because I don't get to watch during the morning part and the day and midday. Is every MSNBC host now deciding to rewrite their history about supporting the war?
Pretty much.
I mean,
I mean, we're coming up now on the anniversary of Chris Matthews' declaration that we're all neocons now.
The one that had to be the beauty was the thing during the Abraham Lincoln landing. You know, people like somebody with a little swagger.
Yeah, I think the women like this war.
Yeah.
What a freak.
Total freak.
But no, he never said that.
That was like
his evil twin.
It's like saying, I know they may not have the bandwidth, but someday I wish Media Matters, speaking of that evil name I know, I hope sometime they put together a timeline and show what all these people said down the line. You know, here's what our news media was saying. Excuse the term, I apologize. Here's the news readers were saying. You know what I mean? Here's what such and such said. Here's what such and such. It was, like I say, if anybody you hadn't seen it, go online and see it. That, like I say, the Moyers thing was just, it was just, like I say, I thought Russert was about to have to run out of the room, which was so good to see.
And I think it was Jane Hampshire over at Fire Dog Lake that just blistered him.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was... oh, shoot. Who was it? I saw somebody say something here. Sorry to...
That's okay.
I'm stalling as fast as I can, I promise.
No, that's okay. Not to worry.
But you know what I mean? It's one of those things where some of the people on the web are just having, you know, who over the last few years, the media has you know, poo-pooed the people on the blog. Boy, are they having fun with this, though. It's like, you know, you all who sit there and cry to us, you know, ethics, and then sit here and said, the thing is, most of this stuff was all known, but then Moyer's the first person in a while who set it all down and just said, look.
Well, this is the exchange. This is the direct quote from Russert, Luke. He said, I don't know how Judith Miller and Michael Gordon reported that story, who their sources were. It was a front-page story of the New York Times. When Rice and Cheney and others came up that Sunday morning on all the Sunday shows, they did exactly that. What my concern was is that there were concerns expressed by other government officials, and to this day, I wish my phone had rung or I had access to them.
Does his phone have call block on it?
Apparently. And, of course... David Sirota just hammered that as well.
Oh, good. I enjoyed that.
You know, and he pointed out that, well, you know, when you're a journalist, you have to go get the story. You don't sit in your office and wait for the phone to ring.
Well,
it's not the night before prom and you're hoping for a date.
Well, you know how it is. It's like, say, this is the thing in college. I need a thesis paper. Let me go get somebody else's thesis paper and paste my name on it.
Right.
I mean, that's what all this is. It's like, guys, you have to go out and talk to people. That's what it's considered to be journalism.
Well, and that's...
Just don't grab somebody else's words off, paste your name on it, say, here, look what I did.
And, of course, you know, that's the next thing that happens in the Moyers piece. He's talking to Bob Simon at CBS, and he says, mm-hmm. Bob Simon didn't wait for the phone to ring. When you said a moment ago when we started talking to people who knew about aluminum tubes, who were you talking to?
Yeah.
We were talking to scientists and to researchers and to people who had been investigating Iraq from the start. But you see, if Tim Russert goes out and talks to a scientist, well, you know, that's not Tony enough. He might not get it. He probably won't get a really good cocktail party invitation out of it. And God knows, you know, maybe the American Family Association will accuse him of believing in demon science. So, you know, Russert knows where his damn bread's buttered.
Well, you know, it's like the thing... hang on, I'll get it back in a second. But it was the one that got to me was the thing when they were talking about Reagan and truth squatting. Oh yeah, we're going to leave that up to the Democrats. It's like, then why the hell did you come to the office then? You know, I mean, it's like, well, we're not going to truth squat him anymore because he was making so many damn mistakes. It's like, we're going to let the Democrats point it out. We'll report it when they show it. It's like, so in other words, we don't want to do our job. We want you to do our job for us.
But we still want to keep getting the seven-figure salary.
I know. Oh, and another thing I think I sent it to you on the listing of it. One of the things about O'Reilly, you know, where he's been on this thing with, you know, about Media Matters and all this stuff and Soros. It's like, okay, Bill, we'll listen to you on that as soon as you tell us about Newsmax, Drudge Report,
yeah.
Heritage Foundation,
Competitive Enterprise Institute, American Enterprise Institute.
It's like, say, we could spend the next 30 minutes listing names.
Yeah.
Now you tell me about people supporting other people. It's like the thing with Drudge. Drudge throws out 20 items. You all grab all 20 of them and say, "People say." It's like Media Matters doesn't use do "People say," Bill. They do "You said," and they put the transcript. Then they show the tape.
And then you have to live with it.
And then we watch. Then we would really love to hear you live so we could hear that squeaking sound.
I didn't say it. I never said it. They're sleaze merchants.
But like I say, the thing with Oberman tonight with Larry Johnson ought to be good. And I'm hoping that Larry Johnson's one of the people I'm hoping Stephanie will have on Monday, because you got to wonder I don't know if she'll say anything until afterwards, but you got to wonder what the restrictions are they've told her. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't.
Yeah. No asking hard questions.
Well, I mean, but like I say, because you know MSNBC will run their usual suspects, as I call it, the Casablanca class.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
Or as I've heard, the new one I heard was hack journalist. I guess it was hack journalist, but you know what I mean? It's the as I say, it's the usual suspects. It's like, you know, I still want somebody to ever explain to me. It's like, okay, these are the people that gave you the bad information. Why are you still talking?
Yeah, why does William Crystal still have a job?
Well, why did William Crystal get a column at Time? I think that's where it is. These are Time, you know, Time and Newsweek both have given columns to these people, and you're sitting there going, these are the people who got it wrong. You know, where are the people that got it right that you refuse to talk to? I mean, you know, it's like, say, I mean, you know, you got to pick your enemies and pick your friends, but it's like, guys, this is the person, you know, it's like, what was it? One night, I think Bill Maher was talking about something about think tanks, and he brought Bill Crystal, and he said, "Look, Nostradamus, that you've gotten everything wrong from A to Z."
Yeah. New rule. Yeah. What was it? New rule. We don't listen to you anymore.
Yeah. Or was it? If you belong to a think tank, you have to get things right.
Oh God, not in their world. You know, that's only for folks like us. Luke, we're up against the news. Good to talk to you.
Make the time.
Enjoy the shows tonight, and have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll see you.
Bye.
Later. Okay, news is up next, and your phone calls, and who knows what fun we might run into. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Saudi Arabian officials say they've arrested 172 suspected terrorists planning to attack Saudi oil fields and military bases. Some had flight manuals and were training as pilots. Officials seized some $5 million and a large cache of weapons. At Camp David today, President Bush told reporters he will veto the Iraq spending bill Congress just passed that contains a troop withdrawal timetable. The president then said he was certain that he and lawmakers could find a way forward to get financing to the troops. The Pentagon announced today that a senior al-Qaeda operative was captured as he tried to return to his native Iraq. He'll be held at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. 8 Democratic hopefuls faced off last night in the first televised debate of the presidential primary. Discussion centered chiefly on the Iraq war. Former CIA chief George Tenet says Vice President Dick Cheney and others in the White House thrust the country into a war in Iraq without adequate debate. Tenet provides a behind-the-scenes look at the lead-up to the war in a new book. In Afghanistan, the Taliban have taken control of an eastern district. The district's mayor and police chief were among 5 people killed in the hours-long battle. Leading U.S. senators are promising to return the right of Guantanamo Bay detainees to challenge their imprisonment, a right denied them by Congress last year. Many of the 385 foreign prisoners at the U.S. military facility have been held for 5 years without being charged with a crime. And President Bush is also hosting Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe at Camp David. The two threatened today to take a stronger stance with North Korea if the country does not put a halt to its nuclear program, as its leaders promised.
In Washington, senators are expanding their probe into problems with the $85 billion student loan business. Investigators say collection tactics on overdue loans may violate the law. And farms in four states have been quarantined while USDA officials work to determine if 6,000 possibly contaminated hogs have entered the human food supply. The hogs were fed recalled pet food containing the chemical melamine that killed cats and dogs across the U.S. recently. Master cellist and Russian activist Mstislav Rostropovich has died of cancer. He was 80. You're listening to Quality News Network, Science and Business.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
British health officials say they've discovered a specific genetic mutation that accounts for people known as night owls. Called the after-hours gene, its discovery may help in the development of drugs for jet lag and night shift difficulties. The White House has passed a measure setting aside $600 million to provide educational help for college students training to be math or science teachers. The National Academy of Sciences has warned Congress Americans are falling far behind foreign competition in those fields. Schools in Mountain View, California are banning digital media players in an attempt to keep students from using the devices to cheat on exams. But North Carolina's Duke University started an experiment 3 years ago where they provide students with iPods to see how those devices can help enhance the learning process. The man who led AT&T from a baby bell to the nation's largest telecommunications company will retire in June. 65-year-old Edward Whitaker Jr. will hand the job over to the present COO, Randall Stevenson. And ExxonMobil boasted its best first quarter ever by posting a 10% increase in profits, topping $9 billion. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $66.45. The Dow closed up 15, the Nasdaq up 3, the S&P was flat. You're listening to the Quality News Network. There's more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
We're back, and we're at it. I'm Bob Kincaid. And let's go straight to the phones. David's been waiting. Hey, David.
Good evening,
Bob. Welcome aboard.
Yeah. How's it going?
Yeah, you know, it's going.
That's good.
You?
Yeah, it's all right. Last night I tried Stephen Colbert's America Own Dream. I'm going somewhere with it, don't worry.
Okay, okay.
And thing I noticed about it was it bragged about double this, triple that. And as I was eating it, I was like, you know, the flavors of this ice cream,
mm-hmm.
when you triple something and when you double something, it's kind of unnecessary, like fudge-dipped waffle cones.
Yeah.
And after a while, it just started to synthesize into itself as just like one kind of sugar. And then I looked at, you know, on the cover, I looked at Ben and Jerry, and I was like, these guys are kidding themselves because these guys have fallen in the trap of Americanism too. And what I mean is when you don't balance everything, and I don't care if they have organic, they don't use bovine hormones or whatever. Who
yeah.
cares? Who really cares? I'm eating this ice cream. And I'm like, you've ruined the flavors. You have to drink water after you eat this. You can't even, you know what? You couldn't even taste a lot of the singular flavors in it. And I was like, this is a quality, I think, that Americans don't realize, that we are being, everything is being hyper consumption, and even the Ben and Jerry people are falling. And it's a parody ice cream too.
Sure. Well, you know, I mean, you mentioned that makes perfect sense to me, because going out to a pizza joint,
right?
Okay. I never ever order a pizza with, like, you know, I never get the Supreme or the Mega Monster, you know, with, you know, 19 different toppings on it, because they all merge and they don't taste like anything.
Right, exactly.
You know,
I want to
savor the flavor.
Exactly.
That's a nice analogy for a lot of what we've got going on. You know, we're just the more culture.
And that's what I mean. And he, I
new with strawberries and oysters.
Those guys sold it to me. Those guys, I mean, the Ben and Jerry guys, they sold me that ice cream. They said it's a good flavor. They said, I mean, I've tried some of this stuff, but when they went to this parody route, and they just I don't know how.
Oh, dude, I'm a chunky monkey freak.
Right. Well, I don't know how much sweeter that is than this one. But the thing that I noticed is to top something, they're going to have to add more, and that's the same thing with what's happening with the media, what's happening with technology. It's not just a food item. It's everything. I'll give you an example. My friend, he's an assistant manager at A&F, Abercrombie & Fitch.
Sure.
And he's telling me, yo, David, listen, I'm going to get a place. It's going to have 5 bedrooms. And I'm like, whoa, you're one person. Why are you getting a house with 5 bedrooms? And he's like, no, listen, I work a double shift. I'm going to have that M3 by the end of the summer. M3 is the kind of BMW, by the way.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you crazy?
Wait, stop. He's working at Abercrombie and Fitch, and he's going to buy the Beamer?
Yes.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, well, see, Bob, this is...
I need to be out there hustling T-shirts.
Yeah,
now.
But I didn't tell you the Twilight Zone. This is the Twilight
it's
Zone.
It's weird enough already.
I know, it is. This is the Twilight Zone. This is how people think now. This is... Listen to me. People out there, young people, if you go to California, if you go to any of the major cities, you are going to be put... I think we talked about this before. You're going to be put in that position where, like, I'm not good enough to get that girl. I'm not good enough to get this. I'm not good enough to get that, so I got to work harder. And this is what they do. This is what they do when you go in these companies now. They say, well, the you have to work the hours. So you know how they keep pressuring him? He works a double shift, by the way. Double shift as an assistant manager. Well, you got to get the energy drinks. You got to get everything. You got to line up everything so you can.
Got to junk up.
Yeah, right. The double shift, because if you don't get that M3 and you don't get that pad, then those model chicks are going to follow you around. That's the thing, it works.
And when you finally do work enough that you can, you know, have all this, then, you know, when are you going to hang out with the hot babes?
Exactly. But, you know, this is what some people should be thinking of about. All the people in these conglomerate corporations, everything, all of this stuff is holding onto a thread, people, because their turnover rate and managers and everything right now, it's so hyper accelerating to this rate of, like, well, that person messed up, we got to get this person. This person messed up, we got to get this person. This person, and it's just on and on and on. That's how they do it over there. It's like, oh, you messed up on this. Oh, we can't have that. You got to get out. You got to leave. And it, like I said, it's hanging on by a thread. And this, this is why our economy is quote unquote booming.
Yeah, because a significant portion of the younger generation is working itself into an early grave.
That's right. It's and people. I mean, I guess I could explain this to you, is that a lot of the kids, a lot of the college kids and a lot of the girls there, what they want to do at these stores is they would have nothing less rather than just to shop all day. And that's what my friend was telling me. He goes, all the desperate housewives, as we like to call them, all the desperate housewives, the husbands don't pay attention to them, don't listen to what they have to say or whatever. They go in these stores day after day like Night of Living Zombies, and they'll drop 15 grand in a week, Bob. 15 grand, like that. Boom. You know? And that's the... And you know what? That's another thing, too. It's this isolation. And I'll transition this into what we saw in the debates. It's this isolation. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Biden, all of those people. I don't disrespect them, but understand this. Those consultants, all of these consultants are killing this country right now. Because what they do is they isolate them. They say you got to be like this. It's like when I was telling you about Forrest Whitaker,
mm-hmm.
when he's playing Last King of Scotland. They said there were some days we just couldn't get him out of being
Idi Amin.
Idi Amin, right. So when I was watching this, it's good to see someone like, and people say he's far left. No, he's not far left. He's just angry.
Well,
and he's voicing he's passionate. And that's what he was saying. He was saying these people are phonies, and they are phonies because they're
I guess he's far enough away from the national memory that Senator Gravel, the generation watching politics now. I mean, and that includes, you know, the tail end of the baby boomers like me. I didn't know he was. And I went and I read up on him, and
right.
I found out what a man of commitment and passion he had been. You know, this is a guy who, because he was utterly, absolutely, unquestionably convinced that the members of the United States Senate, by God, needed to know the lies that had been told to get us into Vietnam, ran his own filibuster, David, for over a week, I believe it was, and read some 21 or 4,100 pages of the Pentagon Papers
right.
into the congressional record.
And you know, this is the thing that...
And they sued him and tried to stop him.
You can see it on the look of Ryan. People say, well, those people are just...
That man saved lives, David.
I'm sure he did. You can see it on the look of Ryan Williams. You can see it on the look of all of the people. If they didn't have a close-up lens, for obvious reasons, they were probably all scared crap in their pants or whatever. He would say something that would really, really get the attention, and they would have to answer for it. Oh, God, please don't go there. But the thing is when you look at something like that, you have to understand that those people, they've been encapsulated in that bubble so long that they're foreign to you, and it's the same way with Ryan Williams. He really thinks, these people really do think that someone is far off their rocker if you have any
passion.
Right, if you have a passionate opinion. And the reason why is, Bob, going back to the ice cream thing, transitioning back to that, like Quantum Leap or Hyper...
You're working tonight, man.
Yeah, yeah. Going back to that, it's because we synthesize so much saccharine, sugar, everything. There is no balance. And they say, whoa, is this person? And when you have it, whoa, what was that? It was like a flavor you never tasted before. And the problem is we don't have that. And when we do have it, a lot of the people like to jump on and say, well, that person is, and this is so-and-so, and everything is just, it's not even, you know. To me, the thing is that you have to understand that it's a slow process for it to build back in your system, to get used to these people and to understand that.
Yeah, and you can develop a taste for patriotism.
Exactly. Right. Right. And it's not far left. You know, being far from something.
No, far left, at least as I understand it, David, okay?
Right.
Far left is when you go out marching in the streets talking about how you're going to bring on the glorious workers' revolution and you're going to have a dictatorship of the proletariat and you know, that crap.
Well, that's probably coming because they keep forcing people down like that, and eventually that's what's going to you're going to have grow out of that.
But that's what it, you know, and we're all going to live in a commune and drink goat's milk. You know, that's far left.
Yeah, that's far left. It's not far left when you listen to someone.
There's nothing far left about wanting a guy who's got a 2-month-old infant at home to be able to come and watch the child grow up.
And you know what's crazy?
Sorry.
And you know what's crazy? People on Daily Coast, they were buying it too. They were saying, "Oh, well, that guy was far left." I was like, I was like thinking to myself, do these people even understand what they're saying anymore? He was just saying a different opinion. That's it. You
that's
don't have
far
to
left.
Them, people.
Yeah, anything that doesn't go step is far left.
It's bizarre, and you know.
Hey, let me ask you, David. Let me ask you. I mean, you watched it, right?
No, I watched some of the clips.
Did you see the clip of the Senator Biden, you're a gaffe machine? Did you see that one?
Yeah, I saw that
one. And did you see where Biden goes, can you assure us that you won't stick your foot in your mouth while you're president? Yeah, I thought it took a lot of nerve for Brian Williams to ask that in light of the Bush presidency. But, you know, what the hell? It's a different standard for Democrats. But, you know, and Biden goes, yes, beat. And the audience goes, ha, 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 ha. And the camera pans to Brian Williams, who's sitting there with this bemused, prefabricated look on his face, and then he takes his glasses off. Well, thank you, Senator Biden. Am I wrong? Was that staged? Did it look staged to you?
I'm guessing it would be, but you know what? I mean, this brings an interesting point. Maybe the democracy doesn't stand for democracy in the D word. Maybe it stands for the Daily Show now. Because if you think about it, look at the people on the stand who have been on the Daily Show. Ryan Williams is a friggin' giant head in the background, for goodness sake. Biden goes on it. Can you imagine what McCain's going to say? Can you imagine what McCain's going to say in this debate? He actually thought that was funny, not to go on another tangent or something, but he thought that was funny to say to Stewart, did you hear that? When he said, hey, John, I brought an ID for you. It's under the desk. That's not funny.
No.
What's wrong with you?
It's not funny. That's crazy.
I know.
You know, if McCain continues along his present track, he's going to show up at a debate with a clown suit and a rifle. I mean, that's all there is to it. And his little head's just going to go bang, right in the middle of the debate.
I don't think John Stewart understands anymore. You can't just when you're talking seriously and everything, and you're trying to make a point across. You can't just make a joke at the end of it on everybody who we're trying to hold accountable for. I understand you're trying to do a funny show and everything, but I mean, who cares if this person hates you? If you got Wolfowitz on him, throw that sucker.
I couldn't agree more.
And like I said, the Daily Show democracy, we saw it last night. And I'll tell you what's funny. I mean, Mike Gravel, even though he was being serious, and he had some funny lines and everything like that, they're going to make him into the total buffoon, the clown. When you got Ryan Williams, you got Biden, you got all of these people who are saying
but Mike Gravel is the cranky old uncle.
Right, he's the cranky old uncle. What was Biden? I mean, Gravel had all the points on Biden. He's like, you keep
he sliced Biden to ribbons. Hey, David, I got to roll on, brother.
All right, no problem, Bob.
Good talking to you.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
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 And we keep it rolling. I said we might have a fun little surprise this evening. We do. Our very good friend Sam Simpson joins us from Florida. Sam, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. It's so good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you, too. Thanks for letting me share some time.
Well, I've told you before, you're welcome anytime. you're staying busy.
Well, yes, we are.
Trying to breathe some life into the impeachment demand. Let's call it that. Can we? It's a demand for impeachment. It's a constitutional demand that these criminals be removed from office. Can we say that?
Well, you know what? We have in our press release, we actually wrote that down, that there are thousands, and I really do believe that there are millions of Americans that believe that serious crimes have been committed, and impeachment is an absolutely legal, constitutionally mandated first step to begin to rein in unprecedented executive power and restore the foundations of law, justice, and moral reasoning. I mean, yeah, you're right. These people are criminals. It's disgusting.
It is. So you're going to down in, Pinellas County, Florida?
Well, we're in Pinellas County, which, for folks who don't know, that is St. Petersburg, Tampa, Clearwater area. It's right in the mid part of Florida, over on the coast where the Gulf of Mexico is. And President Bush is flying into Miami tomorrow to a college to do commencement speech. And it's been labeled, tomorrow's labeled National Impeachment Day. I'm not really sure, you know, what the historicity of that is, but there are over 200 groups around the country that are using tomorrow as being a day to really get the word out. So here in Pinellas County, a group of progressive Democrats of America decided to get some money together. We raised about $850, and we're hiring an airplane with a banner that's going to fly for 3 hours over St. Petersburg and Dunedin in the beach area, and it'll say, "Impeach Cheney, then Bush." And then about 30 or 40 of us are driving down to Miami to protest the president and let him know that, you know, we don't like what's going on, obviously.
I wonder where your free speech zone's going to be. Bimini?
Isn't that interesting? I know. What a horrible thing. I got the email today. I really didn't take a look at it. There was some concern that they were, you know, not going to allow any kind of demonstration whatsoever. But I think we have our marching orders now, and I'm sure it's like right across the street from the university, but I can't be specific on exactly
What university wants to soil itself with him for a commencement address?
I know, isn't that sad? It is Miami-Dade College, and it's at the Kendall campus.
Darn, I was hoping for another reason to root against Miami during the football season, but you know, I'm shallow.
Well, you know, it's always nervous to me when Bush shows up in Florida anyway, because, you know, what is another false flag event going to happen, you know,
right,
while he's down there, you know, and Cheney's out in Utah, you know, who's minding the store, you know?
Is he bringing his book?
Karl Rove, probably.
Well, that's who's been minding the store for a while now, Sam.
Oh, I tell you, I've got to tell your readers, I'm reading two books, and I just got one done with one last night. And it was riveting, and it's an older book, and it's called Access Denied, and it's by Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. She was subject to the MK2 Ultra programming when she was younger, one of the only people to escape with that, and goes into mind control and some of the larger issues in the country. I really urge every awake, alive American to try to find the book. You can get it online, Access Denied. And I'm also reading the Debunking 911 Debunking, the new one by David Ray Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just so important that we do not lose heart, because I believe that there are more people that want truth, that want peace, that want what's right for their children than there are. I think it's a small cadre of criminals, really, a very small cadre of criminals, and they've been around for a long, long time. Cheney, Rummy
and
Oh my gosh, I mean, they were forward back in the 70s. He brought them in for 30 years. They've been planning this stuff, and we just have to be willing to, you know, I mean, lay down our lives and say absolutely not.
Well, let me ask you something, Sam. Did you watch the debate last night?
You know, I missed it. I wish I would have seen it. I was hoping, I was looking for it online, because I do not watch television.
Good for you. That's healthy. You
know, I'm in TV and broadcasting, you know, for like 30 years, and I am addicted, like a lot of other Americans, to the visual image. But knowing my addiction, I don't have it. I do try to watch stuff online, you know, when I can get it. But unfortunately, I missed it. I wish I could have a nice comment for you on that. But what did you think?
Well, I've been doing some really bad radio this evening, Sam, because, you know, talking about television on radio is like dancing about architecture. But there was a seminal moment, and I urge you, when you get back behind your computer, to see this. I don't know how we make it available or we imprint it upon the national psyche, but there is a moment when Brian Williams brings up Dennis Kucinich's bill of impeachment, and he says, and he did this throughout a couple of times during the night. It was like romper room, Sam. You know, I see Billy and I see Tommy, and
oh,
you know, and through the camera, I see you. He said, "Show of hands here." Yeah, he had Democratic presidential candidates do a show of hands. I was expecting, you know, and you put your left foot in, and you take your left foot out, and then you do the hokey pokey. But anyway, he says, "I want a show of hands here." After he's asked Congressman Kucinich about his bill of impeachment, who here among you will stand with your colleague Congressman Kucinich and call for the impeachment of Dick Cheney? And it's not what you saw, it's what you didn't see, Sam. That's what makes this...
Did anybody agree with him?
Not one hand went up.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And, you know, I was sneaking in a little bit of the audio at the time, and I thought I was just going to have a purple polka-dotted zigzag striped conniption right here on the air.
You're absolutely right. These people are so profoundly criminal, and I think that there's some people think, well, you know, we can't impeach because it's too much stress on the American psyche. And, I mean, we can't allow that lame excuse. Of course there's stress on the American psyche. I mean, we've been propagandized, we've been militarized, we've been lied to such an extent. But if we don't go with impeachment, and I think people are also afraid because they don't think there's enough Republicans to convict them, but I just say we have to keep moving forward. If we don't go forward with at least calling out these crimes and getting a vote, I mean, we should be ashamed to be Americans. We should be ashamed. The world is waiting for us to stand up and to say we are not going to be allowed, we are not going to allow these criminals to lie, to steal, to cheat, to completely financially devastate our company, to kill any more innocent people anymore, I mean, to take such terrible care of our soldiers. We're not going to allow this anymore. And we must impeach. I mean, it's an imperative. And it's not impossible that Republicans can change their mind. It's not impossible that as Americans understand and see the light of what's going on, and they make those phone calls to their congressmen around the country, and they demand impeachment. It is not off the table, regardless of what Nancy Pelosi says, because the American people are still supposed to be the people in charge. We just have to take our stand. We have to impeach, in my opinion, but we have to try, and we have to convict, and we have to sentence. Impeachment is the logical, reasonable, constitutional mandate for thinking Americans.
Well, that's the thing. I've gone back a few times and I've read, you know, I'm a geek, Sam. I do things like going back and reading the Constitution.
Good for you.
You know, little light reading by the night table. But this meme or paradigm or whatever you want to call it, where we have to say that the Constitution operating as the Constitution was written to operate somehow creates stress on America. Sam, for heaven's sakes, we stressed out more over whether or not Sanjaya was going to get thrown off of American Idol. Okay.
It is tragic, isn't it? I mean, it really is tragic that. But I really do believe on a massive scale. I mean, Americans have been brainwashed. I mean, we've been in a sense socially engineered to apathy, socially engineered to satiate ourselves with buying more and having more and thinking we're better or whatever. I mean, it's all just a lie. And we have to, in a sense, rip off this shield of damage, this lie. We have to rip it off of ourselves. And a lot of people can do that by turning off their televisions. You know, I mean, turn off your television and get your news from other sources. Start reading. You know, I mean, we really have to. I mean, our education's been corrupted. The military's, you know, in every high school telling kids, you know, you can sign up, we'll give you $70,000 or whatever. I mean, it's awful. It's obvious. It's obvious the war was calculated for years. It was all built on lies. It was all propaganda. And yet we've got Dick Cheney getting on Rush Limbaugh, who even Arnold Schwarzenegger says Rush Limbaugh is not even relevant anymore.
If he ever was.
Yeah, going to the lapdog, you know, right-wing press saying the same thing that he's been saying for 5 years. And Dick Cheney is, to me, he is the personification of evil. And Karl Rove, you know, thank God for a Democratic Congress right now, at least asking a few questions.
And that's the thing, you know. We talk about impeachment. Okay, you know, we know that Joe Lieberman is a quisling, and we know that if they tried George Bush on a bill of impeachment in the Senate, that at present there would be no conviction. But it does not take a 2/3 vote in the House of Representatives to get a bill of impeachment out. Okay,
exactly.
We have a sufficient majority in the House of Representatives to pass and forward a bill of impeachment to the United States Senate, and that in and of itself would be enough to put paid to, because right now, you know, even if we don't remove him from office, we've got, these people are sworn to uphold the Constitution. If they don't impeach him, Sam, they are violating that oath.
I agree with you completely, and I really think with a couple of the things that Dennis Kucinich said was so accurate. I mean, I have a bumper sticker. When I was in Washington in January, I had, you know, impeachbush.org. When I came back from Washington, I changed it to impeach Cheney first, because I really think that's brilliant. Cheney has, what, a 17% approval rating right now. Cheney is really making the case for war against Iran. And I really think that Dennis Kucinich, what he's trying to do is not only show that, you know, this is the mandate, the constitutional mandate that must be done. These people are criminals, but let's take the most dangerous one out first, Dick Cheney, before Bush presses the button to go bomb Iran.
And it's it's not just that, Sam. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay.
It's not just that. If that bill of impeachment can leave the House and go to the Senate, at that point in time, the Bush administration, Cheney, Bush, Rice, the bunch of them, have been effectively emasculated, and they are unable to start another war. They will have to stop all of their shenanigans and focus on saving their filthy hides.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the idea of... just the idea of getting a bill passed, and we've got a congressman that would never in a million years do that, but there's a whole lot of Democratic congresspeople out there, the people that listen to your radio show, and there are other states that are working, like Vermont, I think, the actual legislature is passing impeachment issues. I think we can do it, and I think it will be done. I really honestly think it will be done, and it is absolutely imperative that at least the first step is taken, because these people are crumbling, and as if we can stay strong, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, we've been in this fight for a while, at least 6 years. I mean, since the Supreme Court awarded this, we've all become a little bit more alert and a little bit more awake, even though this battle's been going on for 30, 40 years to take over our government. But I really do believe that there is hope. I really do believe there's more people that want to think clearly and have freedom and that want to follow the Constitution and that want to be an American. Doesn't matter about a Republican or a Democrat, want to be an American and do what's right. And I think it will be done. I really honestly do. I don't give up.
Well, no, don't give up at all, Sam, because check out this list, okay? Any bill of impeachment at some point or another would have to be considered by the House Judiciary Committee. All right.
Yes. Now, Conyers already wrote a book on the whole thing.
Now, yeah, but check out the membership. You got Keith Ellison. All right. Among others, you got Debbie Wasserman Schultz. You got I can't remember his first name, Wexler. Okay.
Oh yeah.
You've got Marty Meehan. You've got Maxine Waters. Sheila Jackson Lee, Lofgren, Scott from Virginia, Nadler from New York. Somewhere in there, there's got to be a patriot who is willing to demand that John Conyers bring this issue to the body.
It was really disappointing, I think, for a lot of us when Conyers went so far as to write his book about George Bush and print it. I don't know, I got mine maybe 6 or 8 months ago, and then all of a sudden, you know, Pelosi and he are saying, well, impeachment's off the table, even though Conyers was in the midst of Washington, D.C., and said, we have to hold Bush accountable to the law. Let's hold John Conyers accountable to what he has said he's going to do. I think all of us need to contact John Conyers' office.
I think that's a good idea.
You know, but I mean, obviously.
Now, see, lo and behold, I've got a. I just checked my email while we were talking. I've got a press release in my inbox from Speaker Pelosi, House call holding the president accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Nancy, Madam Speaker, the way you hold George Bush accountable is via the constitutional provision that is set up for the holding of a criminal president accountable. It's called impeachment. And if the Constitution is on the table, it's on the table.
You're absolutely right. I mean, illegal wiretapping, torture, lying to war, preemptive strike. I mean, the list just goes on. These are impeachable offenses. These people are human beings. They're not kings. They're not above the law. The American people. And if Pelosi's not going to do it, I mean, I vaguely recall being 16, 17 when John Dean was testifying every day when Nixon was, when all that stuff was going on. You know, impeachment wasn't really an issue, but the American people demanded it back in the 70s. And the American people have to demand it again. And I think that we will. I mean, over 200 groups have organized. People can go to the letter A28.org to find out where all the impeachment happenings are all over the country tomorrow, Saturday. We're hiring the airplane here in Pinellas County. It'll fly over for 3 hours, and we're recommending that everybody that sees that airplane call the newspaper and say, hey, impeach, I agree, I like it, you know. And then we've got everybody going down to Miami, and there are events all over the country calling for the impeachment of these criminals. And that's really what we have to keep in mind, is that these people are criminals. And I have to believe that people are waking up. And at the same time, though, we're really dealing with folks that are working two jobs, three jobs. Economically, it's very difficult right now. We've got foreclosures. People are losing their homes.
Yeah, if we could put a million people in Washington for the next month and a half, we could have impeachment the day, easily. But
yes,
you're right. People have jobs. They've got two jobs. They've got three jobs. They've got mortgages, car payments, the utility bills. Everything's going through the roof. Gasoline's $3 a gallon and more, headed for $4 in some places.
And that is a sort.
That is a sort of economic slavery that keeps us from being able to demand our sovereign rights. I want to share something with you, Sam. Just as we've talked, I went and found me a little online copy of the Constitution. You know, they're out there. And do you remember when Bill Clinton was being impeached?
Yes, I do.
And the Republicans said things like, words mean things. Remember that? And they said things, you know, they had such a party when Bill Clinton said, depends on what the definition of is. Well, with all of that, I just found a doggone interesting little word. You know, impeachment is Section 4 of Article 2 of the Constitution, and it's three lines on my monitor. The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Interesting. Words mean things, Sam.
Yes, they do.
And there's the critical word. The President, Vice President, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed. Not may. Shall.
They shall be removed. Yes, I mean, really, we're talking about, you know, Rice and Gonzalez, and I mean, the rest of them as well.
But that means that it is not it's not optional for anyone who is sworn to uphold the Constitution.
You're absolutely right.
It is mandatory. That is mandatory language.
You know, but if we go back to the Military Commissions Act, if we want to talk about people that were swear to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, anybody that signed the Military Commissions Act that took away the writ of habeas corpus, that says that anyone who commits any citizen who commits a hostility against the United States can now be called an enemy combatant, we started losing our civil liberties back then. Those people that signed that bill were treason. As far as I'm concerned, they're guilty of treason. And that was back in November. So these people need to be reminded that they are accountable to the American people. I have half a mind that thinks that the whole debacle with impeachment with Clinton was almost an idea to reduce the idea of impeachment and the idea of the American people, to make it laughable, to make it ludicrous, you know, so we wouldn't take it seriously. But I think that the people that are in charge, what they don't realize is that wisdom and love and hope go far beyond criminal intent and greedy bloodlust power. And they forget that there is hope and indomitable spirit in the hearts and in the minds of human beings who know what the truth is. And the truth will always win. And that's what they forget. And so as long as you're on the air, and as long as I'm alive, and as long as the people that are listening to us and talking to their friends, we're going to win this. We're going to win this.
You know, I think you're right.
I really believe that.
I got to tell you, Sam, it got pretty depressing last night watching the debate. Seeing Congressman Kucinich stand there all by himself. But we do have an opportunity, don't we?
We do have an opportunity. I mean, we really do. We've got to be vigilant. We've got to get on the horn. I mean, we've started to organize telephone trees. Like in the state of Florida, we had a couple of opportunities last week where, you know, we contacted 200 or 300 or 400 or 500 or 600 people around the state, because Florida is considering going back to a paper ballot. and that's obviously very important to us. And so we're, you know, a human being listening to your show has 10, 15, 20 contracts. People can begin to phone telephone trees. People can begin mass, you know, postcard campaigns. I mean, impeach, convict, you know, sentence, you know, prosecute, whatever. We've got to keep that noise happening in Washington. Drown out everything else. These people are criminals. They need to be removed. It's the bottom line. Everybody that is awake in America knows that the war is, you cannot win any, a war based on lies, manipulations, and greed, and the thoughts of world domination. This war should have never happened. 911, there's enough information about that. We don't know all the answers for that. A lot of people think, you know, they just kind of let it happen. I have the feeling that that happened as well. You know, so, I mean, let's go back to pre-trauma 911. Let's go back to, you know, before the Supreme Court awarded Bush the presidency.
Yeah, with...
He stole both elections, for God's sake. Let's not forget these things.
And it's because they're... Because the outrages and the obscenities come at us just, yeah, you know, rapid fire. It's easy to forget. Yeah, I was pointing out the article by Bob Fatrakis and Harvey Wasserman a couple of nights ago, maybe last night. It is undeniably clear now that they dummied up Ohio in 2004. They didn't just
Absolutely.
Steal 2000. They stole 2004. We are paying the price for it. And, you know, you campaigned for Congress as a grandmother.
Yes, I did.
Impeachment is not a question for tomorrow or the day after. It's not a question for a month from now or a year from now. Impeachment is a question whose answer holds literally the future of those of that grandchild or grandchildren that you hold so dear.
You're right. That's absolutely right. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about the future for our children and for our grandchildren before they all get washed off into some militaristic society and our civil liberties are continuing to be disbanded and the free speech zones are, you know, planned and then they start using harmonics for crowd control. This is insanity.
Or microwave crowd cookers.
Exactly. Exactly. I got to tell you, folks, get the book called Access Denied by Kathy O'Brien. I've never read anything like it in my life, but I've always known that there was evil and there was darkness, and this just documents everything from the Poppy Bush, you know, the grandfather Bush, and, mm-hmm. and back those days, and it really opened up my eyes to the idea where the propaganda techniques, the MK Ultra, what brought in all the Nazi scientists after World War II, they brought them to the United States. This is real stuff.
Well,
it's real.
You can go to the National Archives and you can find the conviction of Prescott Bush under the Aiding the Enemy Act or Doing Business with the Enemy. I can't remember offhand.
I mean, it's there.
It's real. These people have been in bed with every sleazy element that this country has ever put forward.
They're criminals.
They haven't made an honest dollar since 1900.
They're criminals, and the more I think about it, the more, you know, poor, you know, President, I do pray for President Bush. I don't bash him. I don't hate him. I pray for him. I believe the man is so ill, so deluded, or mind-controlled, or sociopathic. I'm not sure which one.
You're a far better person than I am.
You know, maybe all three. Well, I just, you know, I'm a Christian, so I do my best not to bash anybody. I just try to tell the truth, and I try to be as merciful as I can. You know, and I haven't always been that lovely, you know, concerning Mr. Bush, but I've just been moved lately to just cry out to something much greater than myself because, you know, this is enormous. What we're talking about is the balance of not just our country, the balance of the whole world. These people want to control everything. I mean, they've been bombing Somalia, you know, the North Horn of Africa. They've been messing around in Iran. They've destroyed Iraq. They okayed Israel to decimate Lebanon. This is insanity. This is insanity. We have the technology to completely be free from fossil fuels. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we can do if we have leadership that says, look, we're going to change our way of life. We're not going to be dependent on fossil fuels. We're going to go to, Tesla's law. We're going to go to different kinds of hydrogen power. We're going to harness the sun. We're going to harness the earth. There's a whole new world out there waiting for us. And if we don't speak up, these people have the potential in their finger to nuke you, to use a nuclear, they call it tactical.
Yes,
which
yes.
terrifies
little mini nuclear grenades.
A little mini nuclear grenade that is, you know, like half the size of what knocked out Hiroshima in Iran. And that is what we're dealing with right now. They could do it any day because Congress didn't have the whatever kahunas to put in there. You know, you're not going to bomb, you're not going to use any military action until you come to us. I asked my congressman about that. I said, there was a bill by Walter Jones in North Carolina, and he was trying to put some kind of a resolution that says, you know, they can't bomb Iran unless they come talk to Congress.
We had my congressman on this program to talk about it as well. And he didn't want to say exactly who, but everybody knew by the time he was done talking. He said the single largest lobby in Washington would have scuttled the entire bill had we included the Iran language.
That's
AIPAC. Yes, that's AIPAC.
That was AIPAC. And I got to tell you, you know, we've got to, and that's something that our generation can break the curse of. You know, being able to discuss as rational human beings the idea of constant military aid to Israel and constant acquiescence to their foreign policy running our country. You know, we need to talk about that. And Israel and what they do to the Palestinians. And, I mean, oh, my God, snipers kill children sitting in their schools, for God's sake. Women at checkpoints give birth to babies and they die because they can't get to a hospital. They're criminal. The Israelis, I'm not saying the Israel people, but I'm saying the government.
The Israeli government has run amok. It is.
What
it has done, it has taken its cues from ours. When Jimmy Carter was the president of the United States and he insisted that we work toward peace between Israel and Egypt, they did.
Yes, that's exactly right.
When Bill Clinton tried and tried and tried and tried to bring peace, they actually worked on peace.
And when George Bush came into office, he took his hands off everything and gave Ariel Sharon a green light to do whatever he wanted. And so our John Deere helicopters, our John Deere tractors and our Black Hawk helicopters are decimating. I mean, I don't think the American people really understand what Israel does to the occupied territories. I don't really think they do, and it is atrocious, it is tragic, and I don't think the people of Israel really are appreciative of it either. But, I mean, we've got to somehow break that stronghold of AIPAC running our foreign policy.
Well, you know, let me be clear about something, Sam. This isn't about AIPAC qua AIPAC. I don't want any foreign government telling my Congress what they may and may not pass.
You're absolutely right.
Because at that point, my citizenship, my individual citizenship, Sam, means bupkis.
Well, you know, really, right now, what does our individual citizenship mean right now? The Military Commissions Act, passed last October, says any citizen who commits a hostility against the United States can be called an enemy combatant. Now, what is a hostility against the United States? Is a hostility you and I having this phone conversation?
Curiously undefined. Yes, I know exactly. We pointed out, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket. I pointed out on this program, Sam, that there's another provision in that law that says that any person, okay, any person, not any non-citizen, any person may be detained indefinitely without access to family, lawyer, friends, boss, any court, judge. Any person may be detained indefinitely until such time as the federal government has satisfied itself of the citizenship status of that person.
It's an outrage. I mean, we need to repeal the Patriot Act. We need to repeal that. We need to impeach these criminals, and we need to take back our country. And again, I'm going to tell you, it's going to take all of us, and it's going to take, I mean, the next 50 years to undo the damage, and maybe 100. But you know what? It's worth it. We might not live to see it all, but we can be a part of returning this land to the people and returning it to, you know, some sense of moral reasoning, which our Constitution was based on, for God's sake.
Yes, and we can. What we've got to do right now, Sam, we have got to climb back up a mountain that we have run down.
We
used to at least pretend, because we have never been anything approaching perfect or anything approaching fully righteous, but we have to a certain extent, as compared to other governments on this planet, stood at a pinnacle, and we have literally been a beacon of hope to the hopeless of the world. Beginning in January 2001, we snuffed out that beacon. And we walked off the mountain, and we abandoned the moral high ground. We do not, because of what we do now with our economic policies, we can't, you know, I pick up something in the store, and it says made in China, and I immediately have a mental vision, because I'm just this kind of person. I know that when I see made in China, that it means that there's been somebody chained to a damn sewing machine, okay? So knowing that...
You're absolutely right. I mean, NAFTA, CAFTA, GATT, the World Bank, and may Wolfowitz be gone forever. I mean, all these things were not, but they're not made in benevolence. They're made so that we can rape the resources of other nations with no care of environmental laws, no care of labor laws, so that we can, I mean, we've just, and it hasn't just been since 2001. I mean, I really think it's been probably after Eisenhower, where things kind of, and when Kennedy assassinated.
Well, do please remember, Sam, that the first president to really, really give a leg up to a little company called Kellogg, Brown, and Root was Lyndon Baines Johnson. Okay? He was. It started out when he was a senator from Texas, and he would funnel money for water projects and dam building and things like that to Kellogg, Brown, and Root. And by the time he's the president of the United States and we're in Vietnam, it was Kellogg, Brown, and Root that built the things that were referred to as tiger cages in which we kept Vietnamese prisoners. Our own soldiers in Vietnam referred to them as Kellogg, Burn, and Loot.
Oh, my God. You know, it's just... And now, you know, billions of dollars in contracts for, you know, feeding soldiers. And, I mean, it's all obscene, and I wonder sometimes if the economic collapse that may come to our country would be something that might change things. But will the really super, super rich elite have planned that or make money by selling short on the New York Stock Exchange? You know what I'm saying?
They don't care because they have no nationality. You know, for every mansion they've got in the United States, they've got one in Singapore or Hong Kong or God knows, you know, the south of France. Pick a place, all right? Because they do not have any nationality and they do not have any allegiance to this country.
And I think I've heard, maybe it was in the New York Times a few months ago, that George Bush has already bought a couple hundred thousand acres in Paraguay, where that's the only nation in the world that, you know, war criminals can go to and they don't have to leave.
And curiously enough, it's right there on the Bolivian, it's right there in a little niche between Bolivia and Chile. And it is certainly big enough to be a staging ground for black ops.
Listen, because the
black helicopters start whirling outside and I have to put my tinfoil helmet on. But these things are realities.
Yes, they are reality. The CIA is probably one of the biggest drug runners in the world. A good CIA and a bad CIA. I mean, not everybody in government is evil. Not everybody in the CIA is evil. Not everybody at DARP is evil. But there are a lot of people, and they work on a need-to-know basis, and a lot of people don't really know what's going on in the big picture. And so we have to, in a sense, unlock the secret, tell people to turn off their televisions, start reading books, find a new news source, begin to have conversations at night instead of sitting lollygagging in front of American Idol, and start doing something that they're important, their vote counts, there is hope, but there's only hope if all of us band together, every race, creed, color, shape, size, pundit, male, female, transsexual, doesn't matter. Every human being in this country who doesn't want to allow the criminals to run the country, to destroy the country, we've got to stand up and raise our voice.
And
that's what we're doing.
We're doing exactly that, Sam. And we've been at this for almost an hour now, 45 minutes, and I so appreciate your time. And this is one of those points, one of those places in time where maybe the single issue groups that are out that are so passionate and so valuable and so committed to their issues, whether it be environmentalists or whether it be women's reproductive health people or labor people or the you know, all, the people who are afraid that our minds are being rotted by video games, all of those little single-issue groups need to come together, stand as one, and realize that nothing is ever going to happen on their issues for so long as George Bush and Dick Cheney remain in office.
You're absolutely right, because new leadership, good leadership, honest, fair, moral leadership will change everything. So if we all stand together on the impeachment issue, because it is not impossible, it is absolutely, just like you said, they shall be impeached. That should be our mantra. They shall be impeached.
Well, you know, tell your friends tomorrow. I mean, it's something I hadn't even thought about, but by golly, it is worth noting. It is mandatory language.
Yes, it is mandatory language, and I like it, and I'm glad you reminded me of that. There's a documentary that I did, Bob, and I still have a website, samsimpsonforcongress.com. I want to encourage people to go to that website and hit the multimedia page, because I did a documentary in Washington during the march where there were 500,000 people, and people will be encouraged. It's a little file, click on it, it's 28 minutes. They're going to be encouraged, because there's Iranians, there's Jews, there's Christians, there's atheists, there's every kind of shape, size, and color in Washington calling for impeachment, calling for truth, calling for this administration to come down. We are not alone. There were 500,000 people in Washington in January, and the media doesn't cover it, because, you know, we are the media. So let people be encouraged by looking at that video, and let's remember the language, they shall be impeached. We'll make it a prophecy, they shall be impeached.
Sam, thank you so much. Sam, okay. And that's Sam with two M's.
That's two M's.
S-A-M-M Simpson for Congress.
Yes, .com. Yeah, go to multimedia, watch the documentary. People have told me they've been moved, they cry when they watch it, because they feel encouraged. They don't have to be alone.
You know, I hope I know how busy you are, Sam. Don't be a stranger. Shoot me an email. I'd like to establish a little bit more of a dialogue. You bring so much to these conversations, and I really have a real honor and reverence for your passion, your commitment, your intelligence, and your dedication. Yours is a voice that needs to be heard here. I'm watching the chat room right now. They're saying, tell her to come back. Tell her to come back.
Well, back at you, Bob, and all the people that are listening, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. This is a people's movement, and that's what this earth is all about. That's what the United States is all about. United, you know, states, fighting people for the people. They shall be impeached. Bob, thank you so much. Bless
it's
you.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, and the best of luck tomorrow, and give them hell in Miami, please.
You got it.
All right. Okay, take care, brother. Sam. Bye. Or just give them the truth in Miami. They'll think it's hell. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. Got a couple of lines open if you want to jump in. 877-443-2366, toll-free on your nickel. It's 304-658-5453. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. At Camp David today, President Bush told reporters he will veto the Iraq War spending bill Congress just passed. He called it unacceptable because of its inclusion of a timetable for U.S. troop withdrawal. The president then said he was certain that he and lawmakers could find a way forward to get financing to the troops. President Bush was at Camp David hosting the visiting Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. The two threatened to take a stronger stance against North Korea if it does not keep its promise to begin shutting down its nuclear program. Saudi Arabian officials say they've arrested 172 suspected terrorists planning to attack Saudi oil fields and military bases. Some had flight manuals and were training as pilots. Officials seized more than $5 million and a large cache of weapons. The suspects are both Saudis and foreign nationals.
The Pentagon announced today that a senior South Asia al-Qaeda operative was captured as he tried to return to his native Iraq. The suspect was taken to the U.S. detention facility at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. 8 Democratic hopefuls faced off last night in the first televised debate of the presidential primary, discussion centered chiefly on the Iraq War. A senior White House counselor, Dan Bartlett, responded today to excerpts of former CIA chief George Tenet's new book. In it, Tenet says the Bush administration thrust the country into war without serious debate. Bartlett suggested Tenet may not have been aware of the true extent of the debate. In Afghanistan, the Taliban have retaken control of an eastern district, killing 5 Afghanis, including the district's mayor and police chief. The Associated Press reports the judicial system along the Texas-Mexico border is unable to keep up with the increased immigration arrests. Judges in 5 border districts are forced to handle 5 times the number of felony cases judges handle elsewhere. Officials quarantine farms in 4 states while USDA officials work to determine if 6,000 possibly contaminated hogs have entered the food supply, the human food supply. The hogs were fed recalled pet food containing the chemical melamine that killed cats and dogs across the U.S. recently. Master cellist and Russian activist Mstislav Rostropovich, has died of cancer. He was 8.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The deaths of hundreds of birds and sea mammals recently along the California coast are being blamed on a toxic acid-producing algae. Biologists say warmer water this year has produced an especially heavy growth of algae. In Mountain View, California is banning digital media players in school in an attempt to keep students from using the devices to cheat on exams. But North Carolina's Duke University started an experiment 3 years ago where they're providing students with iPods to see how such devices could enhance learning. An international media poll published today reveals Americans have a better opinion of the French than the French have of themselves. 44% of French have a poor image of their country. 38% of Americans have a negative view. And the man who led AT&T from a baby bell to the nation's largest telecommunications company will retire in June. 65-year-old Edward Whitaker Jr. will hand the job over to the present COO, Randall Stephenson. The Commerce Department says in the first quarter, the U.S. economy grew at the slowest pace in 4 years. Light sweet crude is trading at $66.46 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 15, the NASDAQ up 3, and the S&P 500 was flat. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, 5 and a half past the hour. My weekend is almost upon me. That's why it's raining outside. Because that's what it does. Now, we had a beautiful weekend last weekend. Until that car wreck came along, but we weren't in it. You know, I told the story Tuesday, I think. I hope you guys all have a very good weekend. By the way, just a technical note of sorts. I've had a couple of people tell me that they're having a hard time logging on to the stream. I have passed along that information to the hardest working man in liberal talk, and we will try to get that sorted out as quickly as possible. So, you know, well, you, but the ones who need to hear this, they're not, and so they can't, but, you know, keep trying. You know, after all, you got this ain't worn out old tired terrestrial radio. This is the future. I want to do something right quick, like remind you of something. I had I've been doing a little brainstorming. You know, that's the beauty of what we're doing here at the Horn. People have ideas and they share them with me. And one of the ideas that was put across, you know, as we work toward getting funding for what we do here and keeping the lights on and that kind of thing, and you know, keeping me and Agnes and Beans and Cornbread, that, you know, the high standard of living to which we have become accustomed. Yes, Agnes?
There's no problems with Beans and Cornbread.
I love Beans and Cornbread.
And it's a fine way to live. We can't gripe. We're breathing, and it's a new day. It's all good.
Who are you and what have you done with my wife? What is this all this serious all of a sudden? I was being facetious, dear.
I'm not serious.
Oh, so you don't like beans and see,
no,
she
I do.
Does,
I
she
do
doesn't
like beans
and
cornbread.
I love beans and cornbread. But anyway, in talking about ways of getting funding out there, I had a conversation with a listener, and we were discussing things. I said, you know, look, I don't want to run ads for Preparation H on this network. It's not what we're about. And I don't want to constantly be walking on eggshells and saying, oh, Jesus, I said something wrong. Yeah. Because then we're done. Because then all the honesty just goes right out of the network. You see what I mean? So the suggestion was put forward that that I ask you guys to brainstorm for me a little bit. Not brainstorm for me, brainstorm with me. Who do you think would be a good potential sponsor to approach to get to share their message via the Horn with you guys? And now I'm not talking about necessarily a labor organization. I'm talking about what products are you interested in out there? What products, if people were bringing them to, if bringing you information about them on the Horn, what products would you be inclined to go and seek out and purchase? Because, see, that's one of the things. I mentioned it the other night in talking about Flush. The people who advertise on Flush don't care what he's talking about as long as they think that people who are listening to him are buying the product. Flush Flemball could be on the air talking about eating barbecued baby. And as long as there were 5 million people listening to him talk about barbecued baby, the General Steel and Lumber Liquidators, by God, are going to want their product placed there. They've got to know that they're reaching you, and they've got to know that you're willing to act on their messages. For instance, you know, we run that ad. You know, everybody thinks that I don't have any pants because of the no sweat ad that we run. And yeah, we need to do another one, and we will when we get a chance, when we get around to it. But the fact of the matter is, that's a partnership program, okay? And it's an affiliate program. And so every time somebody goes and buys some of that wonderful clothing, we get a portion of the proceeds. Because it's a different kind of business model. Now, here's the fun part. We know what our listener numbers are. We know how extensive they are, and they are extensive. Care to guess how large the check was from No Sweat? Outside of the couple of things that we've ordered here because we felt like we had to, you know, walk the walk, Nada. Zip. Zilch. Nothing. Now, this is not some sort of castigation or an indictment. I know how tight money is. Boy, do I know how tight money is. I mean, I'm sitting here chewing my fingernails down to the cuticles wondering how the hell I'm going to get a roof on this house before winter comes. I know how tight money is. For everyone. Agnes... So, please understand. But you know what? The reason... I mean, if you listen to O'Reilly or Bortz or any of those freaks, they'll say, well, liberal talk radio can't flourish in America because they don't have anything new to say. They don't have any ideas. All they want to do is hate George Bush. That's all liberal talk radio. And you and I both know that it's a bunch of unmitigated crap what they say. Now, here's the other line. Back before Air America went belly up, we found out about the blacklist. You remember that, right? All the advertisers saying, you know, don't you dare advertise us on Air America. Don't you dare. Don't you dare try to get liberals to buy our garbage. Don't you dare try to sell Preparation H on Air America programming. You remember that? Now, that's part of it. But there is a demographic bigotry inside the advertising world that says that you, as liberals and progressives, are not prone to pay attention to advertising, that you won't support the businesses, the companies, the product producers who produce who pay the money that makes liberal talk radio go. And that is it's prejudiced, and it's a sort of anti-liberal bigotry. It truly is. But they also think it's true. So, you know, so consequently, it used to be, well, you know, all the liberals are over at public radio, horse feathers. Toyota sponsors, Toyota, the maker of the Synergy Drive, pays a horse-gagging wad of money to get mentioned. They don't even get to run commercials just to get mentioned on a Prairie Home Companion on public radio. But you see, I can't just call up Toyota and go, hey, sure do wish you'd advertise your cars. Because that's not how it works. There are media, Toyota hires people who are media buyers who place their ads. I mean, this is just a little bit of inside baseball. I hope it's not too boring, but I wanted to bring it up because at the end of all of this is I would like to hear from you. I want your ideas. You know what the email address is, bob@headonradio.com. Do you know of a progressive company? Do you know of a liberal entrepreneur who is producing, you know, we can't say, brought to you by Fred's Filling Station on the corner of South and Main, free car wash with Philip every Friday, because this is global. This is worldwide. It's got to be something everybody can go out and look for. It's got to be something that's for sale or obtainable all around at least America, preferably all around the world. So, you know, your thoughts, your ideas. You know, is there something that's eco-friendly? Is there a nationwide seller of solar products that could be used in the home to help take people off the coal Jones? You see what I'm saying? Brainstorm for me, please. Brainstorm with me. Because we sincerely want to grow what we're doing here. And I'm not sticking my hand out. I'm not asking you for your money. I'm asking you for something that is far more valuable. I'm asking you for your thoughts. Think about who it would make you proud to hear that they have that they have sponsored a year-long contract with the Horn. I know they're out there, but frankly, Agnes and I spend the better part of our days making sure that the programming goes out there, so I really don't have an opportunity to be a marketing guru, even if I was one. So, you know, that's what I'm asking. Brainstorm with me. Share your thoughts, your ideas. Let's go to the phones. Enough babble. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, or if you can afford to do it on your nickel, 304-658-5453. We go to the phones now, and our good friend Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
How about Walmart?
Oh, boy, there's a smart aleck in every crowd.
Gag me with a spoon, right?
Well, see, the funny thing is, I don't know about you, Bob, but I remember when Walmart advertised with Air America.
I know. When Walmart said everything they sold was made in America, I remember that, Bob.
I remember that, too.
Yeah.
Now see, they're getting...
I remember that when Sam was alive. And now these corporate creeps, these woggly little children of his have taken that wonderful idea and turned it into the most ugly corporate piece of crap on the planet. Is that not the truth? And I know that the Horn wouldn't advertise for them. Bob, I know your heart. Is that not the truth?
No, we'll turn we'd turn the lights off here before we take a nickel from Walmart.
Thank you. Thank you for that, because I hate that ugliness that they've turned into from
that little satanic smiley face.
Yeah. From that grand old man that had an idea of taking it back to the community and making it a community thing, that they would do it for the community of the American people, by the American people, and for the American people. And he has children, filthy little wogs that spit out of whatever womb that...
And they are worth $28-plus billion apiece.
Of course, Bob. They're worth more money than God. You know, they think they are God now, don't they? They're right there. I bet they are major contributors to this corporate Bolshevik world that we're living in. I'm absolutely certain of it. And the sadness is this, that they have stopped caring about their neighbor. And the neighborhood of people, and the only thing they care about is themselves. And that's the sadness, because I don't care about myself. You know, I had a doctor tell me here recently that I may have cancer. And I said, okay, well, let's do some more tests. And if I do have it, well, then we'll go on after that. But I'm not afraid of that. What do you call that? Stepping off into that long dark night. I'm not afraid of that. I am afraid of this, though, that we have lost connection with each other, Bob. That we have forgotten about each other, and I care about the Kincaid family and the Kincaid clan and all you folks down there in West Virginia. Every one of you, the coal miners, the songwriters, the people from what is that beautiful organization that the Mountain Watch?
Oh, Coal River Mountain Watch.
Coal River Mountain Watch and all of those beautiful people, and so many others have forgotten themselves. They think themselves outside of this band of brothers that is humanity. This humanity, Bob. The Iranians, the Iraqis, the Afghanis, every human being on this planet. with us, the Americans. And the Americans, we're not even connected to the real Americans. We have forgotten that that our red brothers were here before us, and our black brothers were brought here in chains. We have forgotten that because we have chosen to, and I choose not to. I listened to my dear friend Andrew, and I would have loved to have followed him and said to him, "Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Just thank you for being there and being my brother, my dear friend, one that I've never met, just like my dear friend Bob Kincaid and his lovely bride Agnes, and that brood that you have spawned and put out on this planet. Thank you for them too, and thank all of humanity for being, and thank those among us that are not Bolsheviks that realize we are connected. We're connected. We are. We're all tied together in spirit, in soul, in blood, and in humanity. And I'm a humanist. I must be that. I must be a humanist because I believe that we are all connected. And please forgive me for this rant that I just took you on, but I love you folks. I do, because you're there, you're strong, and Bob, if you have to take a buck from this guy to go out there, tell him I'm not going to talk what you want me to talk. I'm going to talk what I believe, okay? I'm going to talk what I know, and I'm going to talk to the people. And I'm gonna talk to them with truth.
That's all we really try to do here.
Just truth. I know that, Bob.
We try to be a little entertaining with it from time to time.
Well, there are times. And there are times that you bring on wonderful people like Rick Goodner. And I thought, he reminds me.
Yeah, didn't you just love Sam Simpson? Wasn't she wonderful?
Yeah, she was beautiful. No, she was. She just. Oh, goodness, I caught a bit of her, but I was trying to hook up to the net tonight, and I just couldn't get hooked up because there's so many people listening, and that's wonderful. You know, I didn't realize I couldn't get the high-quality stream. I had to go to low-quality stream to hook up, and I was just going half nuts here tonight trying to hook up to Bob Kincaid. But if you got that many listeners, then maybe... they can talk to their local advertisers and say, "Hey, hook up with this guy. He's got."
Well, that's the thing. That's the trick, though, Bob. We can't do local advertisers.
No, I'm not saying local. I mean, okay. Tom Hartman's got his thing with the wines.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got.
Well, now see, that's the other trick. That's why I'm asking people to brainstorm, Bob, because Tom also has marketing people behind him.
Okay.
All these larger organizations have marketing people behind them. They have people who are paid vast amounts of money to do nothing but think about going out and finding people to do sponsorships.
And
the thing is, too inside baseball to go into, but
I know a whole lot less about radio than you know about the military. Okay,
that's
a whole lot less. About
we could probably argue that, but yeah.
No. I think you got somebody there that knows a bit about the military, so you got some inside help there. You know. And I don't understand.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned the military. I've got a story here that you're going to want to read.
Mm.
I believe it just came out today. The author is a Lieutenant Colonel Paul Yingling. All right.
Mm-hmm.
This is. I'm so glad you sort of led me there. ArmedForcesJournal.com. All right.
Okay.
ArmedForcesJournal.com. The lead story, it says, our cover story.
Okay.
And then there's a link that says, a failure in generalship. by Lieutenant Colonel Paul Yingling. Click on that.
Okay.
Oddly enough, this guy is, I mean, he's a real highfalutin type. He's gone to the really spiffy school for advanced military thinking and so forth.
Okay.
He is a current commissioned officer. He's not one of these sissy generals that retires and runs down the block and yells Bush is a poopy head, okay? this guy still holds his commission.
Yeah.
And he is a somebody. He's also the deputy commander of he's deputy commander of the 3rd Armored Cav. All right. 2 tours in Iraq, another in Bosnia. A 4th in Desert Storm, master's degree in political science from the University of Chicago.
Yeah.
Serious cred in the circles that he travels in.
Mm-hmm.
This article is of critical importance, a failure in generalship. And oddly enough, it is said in much prettier language, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But this Lieutenant Colonel Yingling, is saying things that I've been saying for a couple of years now. That the military is in trouble, and it's in trouble from the top down, and it's in trouble at the top. It's bad generaling.
Yep.
Go read this. ArmedForcesJournal.com, A Failure in Generalship.
I'll do that, Bob. But I want you to know I was just over to the, you know, Air Force Base here.
Yeah, over in Minot?
No, in Minot. Just in Minot. I was just over to Minot Air Force Base, and they're beeping up.
Now, I'm not surprised.
They're doing things they've never done before. They're training troops in ways they've never trained. I mean, I'm talking to master sergeants, you know. I mean, you know, people of my own ilk.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, like, you know, I'm no gray hair, and they know me for who I am, and we have conversations, and, you know, like we're having a conversation now. But the thing is, they're doing things with the military they've never done before, and it's all under this auspicious of, or this auspices or whatever, this twisted little, squatting chimp in the White House. They're doing things they've never done before. Not even under Nixon did we do these things. And I'll guarantee you, I was there under Nixon, okay? And we didn't even do them then. But they're doing things now they've never... Oops.
There you are. You're still there. You're still there.
Oh, I heard a beep beep. I thought maybe it was you, but anyway, they're doing things strange. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, my respect to you, my love to your lady and your family, and may we all find the truth at the end of this arduous task that we have been put to. May we all find the truth. And the truth is this, Bob. We're all human beings, the Iraqis, the Afghans, the Iranians, the Palestinians, the Israelites, every one of us, the Jews, the Germans, the every human being on this planet are connected. We all have the same DNA.
Yeah.
There's no difference between any of us except maybe for the pigment color of our skin. And there's no difference, Bob. When we grasp that, when we grasp the idea that I am no different from my neighbor other than maybe my politics, and when I stop being political and say, damn it, can't we just give each other a breather and stop attacking me because I believe that every human being on this planet has as much right to be here as I do?
Yeah, that's crazy talk.
No, it's the truth, Bob, and that's the problem between liberals and conservatives. The conservatives believe they are the ones and the only ones that deserve to have space and to live and breathe and have, you know, this conversation. And us liberals that believe that everyone,
leaders have a right to speak and a right to state what they believe and what they think, but they cannot tell us how we should believe or think. See, they have to realize that we're just as valuable as anyone else, and they can't see it that way because we don't think the way they do. They think in a kind of like a straight line, and if I've ever met a liberal in my life, we never think in the same line. We usually have a real good conversation about, and sometimes we have a debate on philosophy, or maybe a debate on whether the color of grass is really green, or maybe it's just because we perceive it as green, or we've been taught that it was green, or think that it's green, but we don't know if it's really green, do we?
Hey, Bob, I gotta run on, brother. We're at the bottom of the hour.
But that's the truth, Bob. We don't think the sky is blue because we don't even know what the color blue is. And they think they know everything. Truth?
Truth.
Okay. Good weekend to you and to your lovely family, and to all my brothers and sisters on this planet. Peace, goodwill, and love to you all. I stand beside you.
We're proud to have you there, Bob. You take care, and a good weekend to you and Gwenda.
Thank you much.
Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Quick break, Agnes? Yeah, quick break, and then your phone calls. Maybe a couple other little happenstances around the world. This is The Horn.
Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 3/4. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
I'm Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Fred, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Three before the hour. We're going to go back to the phones in just a second. A couple of things to share with you first. An email rolling in from our good pal Angie over at pbsblog.com. pbsblog.com. Hey, Bob, just tuned in while Sam was on, and I thought, geez, is that me? Then I realized it wasn't me because she's a hell of a lot smarter than I'll ever be. She's awesome. It's so good to have her on our team. She's a leader, and wow, she's got the goods. And Angie says, attached is a bit of a poignant photo. It brings back the days of Rob and Laura Petrie and the innocence and fun of those times. Unfortunately, it's a picture of Donald Rumsfeld, so you can't have everything. I just found it intriguing to think of him, you know, as a person. It was a new image for him. Hey, Agnes! Angie says, take care, you two. Things are heating up. It's going to get interesting.
Hey, Angie!
And the photo, see, this is because I'm a trained radio professional. I can dance about architecture. The photo, if you just go to, you want to see the photo I got? I'm not emailing it to the entire listening audience. No, I'm not. But if you go to Google and you just type in Rumsfeld Geisha, G-E-I-S-H-A, Rumsfeld space Geisha, click images, it'll be the first thing that shows up. And it's Donald Rumsfeld sitting there with a straw or a pencil caught between his upper lip and his nose. Trying to impress a geisha. Also trying to imitate a human. But at any rate, thanks, Angie. I appreciate it. One story before we go back to the phones, because I was so thoroughly intrigued by the import of it. It was you know, the big hot story earlier today. Headlines: Saudis say they've busted massive terror plot. The CNN story says Saudi security forces have arrested scores of suspects in a terror plot involving attacks on senior officials and government oil, military, and security installations, a Saudi intelligence official said Friday. And basically, they were wanting to fly. The operation was launched with intelligence gleaned from the interrogations of suspects arrested in the unsuccessful February 2006 strike on an oil processing facility in the Desert Kingdom, an official told CNN. That part is put in there so that the Bush administration can argue, see, torture works! Interior Ministry spokesman Brigadier Mansour al-Turki told Associated Press in a phone call they had reached an advanced stage of readiness and what remained only was to set the zero hour for their attacks. They had the personnel, the money, the arms. Almost all the elements for terror attacks were complete, except for setting the zero hour for the attacks. A little bit of redundancy in the CNN journalism there. We'll have to give it a B-. But it goes on to say that some of those detained were working for airline and oil companies, and that the majority of non-Saudi detainees were Yemenis and some Nigerians. Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera reported that the militants wanted to use airplanes to attack refineries. Okay? Now, what's there's something in here. What it boils down to is the Saudi government had advance warning of attacks that ran the risk of killing lots of innocent Saudis. And instead of going on vacation to Crawford or taking the briefing that says Bin Laden determined to strike inside kingdom and passing it off and saying it was a historical document. They acted on it. What was it, a week, 2 weeks ago that we got the story out? We know now, we know, we don't think, we don't believe, we don't surmise, we know, we know, we know, we know. That among others, the French were telling us just about everything we needed to know about 9/11. But what was George Bush working on before 9/11? God, that seems like a million miserable years ago. Oh, yeah, that's right. He was working on his super-duper nifty missile shield to keep Kim Jong-il from... The intelligence source said some of the confiscated weapons had been hidden in the desert for years. By whom? The operation confiscated 20 million Saudi riyals, that's $5.3 million. A senior U.S. intelligence official said the arrests show there is a serious threat and noted the Saudis have been pursuing terror suspects actively. See, they've been pursuing them actively. They really are our partners. We love them to death. That's why George Bush kisses them on the mouth. And walks through the flowers, holding hands with them. But see, they acted on it. They didn't ignore it. They're not looking for casus belli, for a war with another nation. We were. What was it, February? Paul O'Neill said February 2001, when they started talking about war with Iraq, and George Bush started that crap about, he tried to kill my daddy. They acted. If there's any truth in this, they saved lives. The negligent, ignorant, stupid Bush administration chose deliberately not to act. And so it's not just 3,300 and counting American servicemen and women in Iraq. It's not just 750,000 innocent Iraqi civilians in the land between the rivers that are slaughtered as a result of George Bush's actions. It's 3,000 innocents. It's 3,000 people who were, janitors and cooks and vendors and newspaper boys and cops and firemen, stock traders and executives and who are dead. That's another thing we forget when we put up the list of people dead as a direct result of George Bush's vicious, hateful ignorance. We forget to add the 3,000 from September 11th in New York and Washington and the people on the aircraft. And we forget that at our peril. Let's go to the phones. Preston calls in from Denver. Hey, Preston, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. Thank you. You mentioned what you might find if you search Rumsfeld and Geisha.
Mm-hmm.
That made me think of asking you, did you ever search Rumsfeld and Mount Misery?
No.
Are you familiar with that connection?
No, I'm doing it now.
Okay. Well, you'll find some interesting articles about an estate called Mount Misery. And in the 1800s, a guy named Edward Covey, a slave owner, lived there in this mansion. And he was a renowned, what they called, Negro breaker. And that meant that other slave owners would take their slaves who tried to escape to Mount Misery, and they'd be brutalized so badly that, you know, he tried to beat them into submission, basically. Mm-hmm. Frederick Douglass actually was sent there, and he wrote about it in his book, what a miserable, hideous place it was, but he escaped. But anyway, moving up to this, you know, current period, Mount Misery is now the vacation home of Donald Rumsfeld. He purchased it.
And it's on the Maryland shore.
Yep.
Yep.
So I guess maybe he sees himself as a sort of Arab breaker, you know, the way he's trying to brutalize them into submission. but it's a sad legacy he's carrying on.
What an evil man he is.
Lost. A lost man. I bet in some ways, on a personal level, he's probably a perfectly nice guy to hang out with. Same with George Bush and most of them.
The same way that, you know, if you're in a bar, it's kind of fun when you're there and the crazy old dude at the corner is just babbling away and you can sit there and listen in. That's how it would be fun to hang around with Rumsfeld.
Did you know that actually Bush's house, his Crawford Ranch, is like a model of dream architecture? With all his solar and...
I'd read a little bit of that somewhere. Yeah, good enough for them, but, yeah.
Just needs to be passed around in other ways. You know, but he's so controlled by the oil industry, so he can't even express those other parts of himself that I think progressives would find likable. And so it's a sad situation for sure, but I wanted to brainstorm with you regarding how you could grow Head On Radio.
Okay.
There are several businesses that I think are progressive. When I look through magazines like Mother Jones and E! Magazines and some other journals of that sort, I see a lot of businesses supporting progressive media. Mm-hmm. So there's something to consider. There's one business called 10,000 Villages that I like a lot. I think they're run by a Baptist or Methodist church, and they've created these gift shops around the country made of from artisans all over the world. And it's fair traded, and it tells the stories of the creators of these little, you know, everything from lamps to book holders or whatever, artwork. And I know they've also advertised on radio in the past. They advertised on a station in Pittsburgh. So they have experience.
Yeah, if you don't mind, like I said, I'm going to put together a folder of these ideas and sort of distill it all into one document. If you wouldn't mind, just, you know, when these things hit you, just shoot it to me in an email, would you please?
Definitely. I'll send you an email regarding this. You know, maybe also some other sorts of collaborations, like Nation Magazine, they supported Laura Flanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Z Magazine, the editors there have been very interested in getting into radio, but they just haven't been able to get it up and running. You have it up and running, and it's just a matter of people want to...
And see, this is how this process works, Preston, because I don't know these things.
Okay.
You do, and others out there do. And we can, you know, we can build this and make it something that will just be that will be mind-blowing, and that we can all, you know, that we can all be excited about and all be proud of.
Definitely. It has incredible potential. And if we can get over, you know, sometimes, you know, we've been taught to compete against each other. And sometimes that can be healthy, but it can cut off relationships, too, in other ways. But if there is more cooperation and just free associations of various sorts, it's amazing. Like, for instance, if a group like Z Magazine could find a way to work with you, maybe you could interview them or interview some of their authors or whatever.
And right.
If they've got some resources to share with you, they should do that. And on top of that, they could turn around, send out an email to their subscriber base of about 200,000 people and say, hey, tune in to Head On Radio this coming day. Michael Albert's going to be interviewed or whatever. And a lot of people are seeking this kind of interactive medium like this where they can take part themselves. So, but anyway, I just wanted to share those ideas with
you. Those are wonderful. And we can, because I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to do something. Well, I'm, you know, no, because I'm the only one involved. We are trying to do something here that is different from the way that others have done it in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thoroughly convinced that the business model that, for instance, Air America started out with was a disaster waiting to happen because it was based on the same old worn-out right-wing paradigm.
There were some parallels. I agree. Did you happen to see the DVD about Air America called Left of the Dial?
Yeah.
I thought that was a very interesting look into how it got up and running. and I really admire.
Well, there was a lot of, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, toil, and tears put into it.
Yep.
Unfortunately, a lot of the people who put that put in the toil, the tears, and the money got zip in return.
Yeah, and some people feel like, you know, there are people working the business end of things that were so counterproductive that they wondered if they weren't plants almost to sabotage them financially.
And that's not outrageous, and it's not paranoid to wonder that.
It's not. I mean, that's
because from the
operating procedure.
Well, from the moment that they announced their existence, the right wing geared up an industry to try to make them fail.
Yep.
And yet, there were ratings periods where Al Franken absolutely owned Bill O'Reilly.
Yep.
And it drove him just batty.
Yep. And it drove, you know, their response. You know, we can only imagine the sort of flack that Al Franken received, the death threats that people like Janine Garofalo received.
Yeah.
So they really put it out there in courageous ways. And, it took a lot of effort. But, but the business end of things is difficult. I mean, I don't think that a lot of people that advertise on Limbaugh and those other shows are even concerned about selling their whatever they're selling.
Well,
they're
that's the other end of it. They're just supporting they're subsidizing an ideology.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the other thing we have not taught our side to do, Preston.
That's right. We have not learned, you know, the power of our dollars and our investments. And, you know, seeing that as a powerful form of activism and being responsible citizens. You know, we're always asking John Kerry or Al Gore or somebody else to do this or that for us, but there's so much that we can do for ourselves. And, I think that's one of the bigger problems, at least at times, with some of the progressive radio. It can be so focused on the power of Bush or the power of Rumsfeld. We overlook our own power, which is at least as big.
Well, see, Preston, I've got an email here from a malcontent who used to call this show. This person wrote in and said, "No one's going to pay to hear you yell, scream, and behave like a spoiled child. You and your wife are intolerant as the very same people whom you denounce. Grow up and get a real job."
Yeah, you know, that kind of flack, I wonder if that isn't, you know, they've got psychologists on their side, you know, who send people emails just to demoralize.
Now this is somebody who says that I scream and carry on too much. Every time I raise my voice, I'd get, well, yeah, you don't have to do that. You know, but that's the thing. On the liberal side of things, we are paperclip counters, Preston, and I point that out by example. Well, you know, somebody will say, okay, you know, here's $500, but don't waste any of it.
Right.
And let us see how many pencils you bought with it.
The other side
says, here's $1 million, build your media.
Right, and take some vacations too. You know, take care of yourselves. So buy a little vacation with that money while you're at it. So get some sabbatical.
Well, exactly, and so the point here is that the other side will build its infrastructure, and will not sit there and be some sort of Stalinist about things and say, oh, now you raised your, you know. I mean, the Republican Party. Did anybody in the Republican Party, Preston, denounce Rush Limbaugh for doing his Barack the Magic Negro song? Not one.
Right. And I have to say also, you know, there's definitely a time for screaming and being upset, you know? I mean, that would be being emotionally honest, I think, is important. If we're not upset about some of these things, you know, I don't think in a way we're not being honest if we're not frightened at times. But definitely, I think that emailer who sent you that email, I think, you know, needs to take note of all the times where you model calm, you know, and patience and perseverance. So I think people are going to tune in for that regularly. And I don't know, if they learn about you, I think, yeah, it's going to be incredible what sort of support you can get from unions, small stores, magazines,
Yeah, exactly.
And I wonder, I mean, do you see collaboration between, like, free speech TV? And maybe they could come.
There are so many possibilities out there, and that's why I mentioned this evening, Preston, because I know there's stuff I'm missing, and I'm constantly thinking about stuff, and I brainstorm back and forth with John Fox and with Agnes and with other people involved with the process, but we all know that we're missing it. That's why we're enlarging the process.
Yeah, it's interesting. One last green business, then I'll let you go. I'm sure okay. There are other people that want to speak.
No, I kind of got to get out of here.
You may have noticed a lot of socially responsible investing going on,
mm-hmm.
and that's a mix too. I think sometimes you look deeply into it, maybe it's not so green or socially responsible, but on the whole, it's done a lot of positive things in the world. Groups like PAX World Fund
mm-hmm.
and others. And the person, one of the pioneers in that field, was a guy named Peter Camejo, who Ralph Nader had as his running mate in the past.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I knew the name.
Well, he literally wrote the book on socially responsible investing. And again, maybe if we can let go of some of that money and not expect a 7% return or 5% or whatever, just simply give it away.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've got.
Yeah, some of this is cast your bread upon the waters stuff.
Yep. And I'm going to buy some no sweat jeans. I've been remiss in not patronizing that store myself.
They got great stuff. They got Oxford cloth shirts. They got sweats. They got jeans. They got the coolest canvas tennis shoes I've ever seen. just very similar to the old Chuck Taylors.
They're great.
Some of them are sponsored for different groups and things like that. Need to contact them and see about getting some horn tennis shoes or something. I don't know.
And they're probably not expecting to get the money back on those advertisements. In fact, a while back when Air America first started up, I took out some little advertisements to publicize it in progressive journals. And I think I mentioned yours as well. So it was a way for me to support those journals and maybe bring some attention to your
And that's
program.
when you can double the value of the money, that's even better. Preston, we do have to roll on because we're right up on top of it. But thanks for the great ideas, and please shoot them to me in an email.
I'll keep in touch.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Great weekend. Thanks, everybody. I'm finishing this one in a lot better mood than I was last night, and I appreciate your help in making that happen. Agnes produced, Brian Reznor announced, John Fox engineered. Ben Birch is the hardest working man in liberal talk. He keeps the streams, the archives, and the podcasts going. He's raising funds. Do the right thing. Thanks to the UBC, United Brotherhood of Carpenters, out there building the American dream, and with us helping to save the American dream. Liza, I know you had a big day, but you still got to go to bed, sweetheart. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you. The Head On Radio Network. Welcome.
to dialogue, to conversation. To a place where the experts wear working clothes. Where history matters. Where the past makes our present and we make the future. Welcome to the Dr. Bill O'Brien Show. Here's Dr. Bill O'Brien.
Good afternoon. This is Bill O'Brien. We're at 6 minutes after the hour.